Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 1067 with Chef Matt Berry and brothers Dante and Vinny Marino.
Ask why. Ask why you do things. That was the biggest thing for when I started Dahlia and then Dead Proof. Why do I do this way? Why am I working 70-hour work weeks? Why do I have to be tied down to a restaurant to do what I love doing? You know, like, question in your life why in order to make your life better.
Are you ready for it factors, success stories, failures, and bombs of restaurant industry knowledge? Then join Eric Cacciatore and today's incredible guest as they share what it takes to become unstoppable.
This podcast was made possible by Restaurant Systems Pro, and we need to let you know that every second and fourth Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, CEO of Restaurant Systems Pro, Fred Langley, will be going live, where he'll cover what you need to know about running a profitable restaurant from soup to nuts. This live event will reveal the steps to manage the service and financial goals for your restaurant's productivity. To learn more, head to go.restaurantsystemspro.net/restaurantunstoppable. This episode made possible by Restaurant Technologies, Inc. RTI's Total Oil Management automates your entire cooking oil process. With Total Oil Management, you get dependable fresh bulk cooking oil delivery, filtration plus oil usage monitoring and reporting, easy oil disposal, use cooking oil pickup and recycling, and say goodbye to messy, dangerous restaurant rendering tanks. Yuck. RTI's end-to-end cooking oil system helps you manage your used cooking oil disposal, storage, collection, and recycling conveniently, safely, and cleanly with no upfront cost. Restaurant Technologies, Inc. is always on, so you don't have to be. To learn more, head to RTI-Inc.com and let them know Restaurant Unstoppable Podcast sent you their way. This episode brought to you by Owner.com. Owner.com is the leading all-in-one platform for restaurant marketing. Owner.com powers everything from SEO-optimized websites, direct online ordering, automated email and text marketing, built-in loyalty programs, zero-commission delivery, and branded mobile apps for your restaurant that's integrated right into your POS. With Owner.com, there's no contract, no hidden fees, and nothing to lose. Join thousands of restaurant owners using Owner.com to grow direct online sales, save thousands in third-party fees, and simplify their online ordering presence all in one. Book a free demo today at owner.com/unstoppable and see why owner.com is the number one rated restaurant marketing software. Imagine you had an employee who never called out, kept inventory in line, could spit out sales and cost data at a moment's notice, and saved you hours of work. You'd want to hire that person, right? Margin Edge is the boost in efficiency you need and doesn't add to your labor cost. Margin Edge is a complete restaurant management software that allows you to seamlessly manage all aspects of your business from one central location. With Margin Edge, you can track food costs in real time, make inventory faster and less tedious, easily cost out your recipes, and get a daily P&L so you always know where you stand. Visit marginedge.com/unstoppable to learn more and to get a free monthly restaurant sales report packed with exclusive industry trends, data, and insights. Once more, that's marginedge, marginedge.com/unstoppable. With excitement, allow me to introduce to you today's guests, co-owners of Dead Proof Pizza Co., Chef Matt Berry, and brothers Vinny and Dante Mariano. I was going to say Mariano again.
Hey,
Marino.
Hey.
I'm doing that over.
No, keep it.
Are you sure?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's Marino. I don't know why. I said Mariano when I first got here, and they've been teasing me since. And
now it's all good.
Now it's like burned into my brain.
We've had a different Marino, nickname for like the past 10 minutes.
I'm just going to say your name's over. Vinny and Dante Marino,
because
that's how Got we're it. Supposed to say it. Sorry, guys. So I'm psyched to be here. Right now, I feel like the universe, the stars are aligning, because I'm just realizing I can barely see Matt over there.
Oh, do you want me to move?
No, you guys are good. I'll move. I can see Matt now perfectly.
You need to see more. Like, that just has to happen.
It's plenty to go around.
I've been saying this for years now, that if I'm opening a restaurant tomorrow and I have limited resources, I'm starting where I can, and that's a pop-up. Yes. And I think the word is really starting to get out there, and more people are are starting to see pop-ups as the way to get started. And there's been a lot of requests from our listeners to dive deeper into pop-ups, the whole pop-up panels. I'm going to invite you three gentlemen to a panel. I'd love for you to speak on the subject of pop-ups. So this is a hot topic right now, and we're learning more and more about how to do it right. So today's going to be a really interesting conversation. I can't wait to talk about who you guys are and how you got to where you are today. But let's get that motivational, inspirational ball rolling with a success quote or mantra. Who's taking it away?
That'll be Dante.
I guess that's me.
Dante. All right.
So we've kind of adopted this mantra of if you're scared, do it scared. Mm. And I think for the three of us, we've put so much into this and really found that if we're really going to do this, if we're truly committed, if this is where we want to go, it's going to be fucking terrifying. Yeah. But the best thing we can do is do it together. And if we're just, if it's going to scare the shit out of us, we're just going to do it scared because it needs to be done.
It's important. Do Matt or Vinny want to reflect on that before I start going and doing my thing?
I'm like a very like all or nothing kind of person.
And Matt is on the mic right now. This is Matt's voice.
Oh yeah. Chef Matt.
Hello.
I'm a very like all or nothing kind of person. So when I find something that I love and I'm truly passionate about, I kind of jump in head first, and just having like that pit anxiety of what's going to happen next, where's this going, where's this current going to take me, but just fucking doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Is definitely like, even to like a day-to-day basis, like just do it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
What could happen?
Vinny, what do you got?
I mean, me and Dante, we've always had that feeling of just treading the murky water. Like, regardless of what it is that we're doing, we always dive head first, not knowing how shallow it is or how deep it's going to go, and just enjoying the journey going through it.
I'm like visualizing like jumping head first into murky water, and it's terrifying.
It is. It really is. Starting a business is really at that first. So, like the idea is obviously like, oh man, I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to do the thing I love. But then you forget, oh, there's a lot of steps to getting to even like outside the door to do the thing you love to do.
Yeah, man. And so the words that are going through my mind when I always like to say there ain't nothing to it but to do it. And that's my little like mantra that I tell myself. But to your point, do it scared. Like our frontal lobe keeps us from doing so much. That's where the executive lives. And the executive is constantly freaking out about every little detail. We overthink things. But the truth of the matter is you just have to start where you are and just keep showing up. And it gets easier and easier and easier. But if you never start out of fear, you're never going. Like you just have to take that entrepreneurial leap. And I want to commend you dudes on doing it. You're going through it right now too, which is exciting. I know this is gonna be a really great conversation, and this resonates with me because literally in 5 days I'm about to go take off in a camper across the country.
Yeah.
And I have no idea where I'm going or who I'm talking to. I'm just going.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be so sick.
I'm stoked. Great way to get this thing started. So who wants to start first? We're like, let's kind of help the listeners I understand who we're talking to, like who's behind the mic today. So I mean, we just want to start from right to left, or
I think maybe a good place to start is to start with Dahlia.
Yes.
Because that's kind of like where we all linked up. So I guess I'll start. My wife and I met each other at a restaurant we were working to up until shutdown as a Greenleaf in Milford. I was the chef de cuisine. She was the pastry chef. And
past guests on the show, for the record.
What's that?
Past guest on the show.
Chris Vio.
Yeah, great
he's
guy.
A good dude.
Great people.
Yeah, so we met there and found out that we were pregnant with our first daughter. And 8 weeks before our due date, we both got furloughed. And it was like to everyone, it was like a huge shock. We had no idea what we were doing or what we were going to do. And just going from like working like 60, 70-hour work weeks to just nothing to just like stopping and screeching to a halt. I went fucking crazy.
I can imagine.
I get stir crazy real easy. And we just needed something to do, really. We couldn't do much. She was super pregnant. We were just stuck at home. So we decided, why don't we plan this pop-up dinner?
Okay.
Something I'd kind of toyed with for a long time. And I had time during COVID to kind of like look through my notes and all my years and years of the little moleskins just like filled with absolute bullshit. But we really like put together this concept and this idea of like a pop-up dinner. And we started Dahlia Nomadic Restaurant September of 2020. So our first dinner was like just as things kind of started to open up a little bit.
Okay. So you would have gotten furloughed towards the end of March or early April? Was that?
I think it was
the
end of March.
End of March? Okay. So we got April, May, June, July, August. Wait. Yeah, August, September. 6 months from furlough to pop-up.
Yeah, to our first dinner. And people were so, like, they received it so well. I think they needed something, like, different. And, like, just something to, like, do and look forward to that wasn't, like, sitting at home doing.
And you just had your COVID second child, for some context.
Now I just had. So I have two now. Dahlia, we named the restaurant after her.
So your second child's named Deadproof.
Yeah, yes. My second child is Deadproof Pizza Co. No hyphens.
It's in our articles of organization that we had Matt name his second child.
I'll forget it if they're not all named the thing.
Yeah,
the same
which
thing.
Is why we have it on our shirts, so he doesn't forget.
Our second child, which we had in January, her name's Violet. We kind of swung hard for the floral botanical theme.
Next restaurant will be Violet.
Yeah, next restaurant will be, Violet.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm putting you on the spot now.
The, the next one, yes. Another one, yes.
Another one.
And another one. So we posted our first dinner. It was pre-ticketed. We used, like, Eventbrite as, like, a platform to, like, sell tickets. And I think it was 40 people max. And it sold out in, like, a couple hours.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, shit. Like, people want to do this. So then we posted up a second one, and because we had so many people like reach out to us and be like, oh, if there's any seats that are available or like the cancellations, like let me know. We had so many, like such an overwhelming amount of people.
Where were you doing these pop-ups?
So the first one we ever did was at Greenleaf.
Okay.
Chris let us do it. At the time, he was actually on the other side of the country filming for Top Chef.
It's Top Gear Chef.
Yeah, the Stig turned around the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Top Chef. And he let us do our first dinner there. And then the second one we just posted, and it was titled The Second Seating. We literally just wanted to expand the seating of the first one. But we ended up hosting that at the Birch on Elm, right here in Manchester, right down the street. And that sold out in like minutes.
Which was Dan Haggerty's restaurant that he was working at before he was opened. Working there.
Yeah, yeah. Nick Preventure, good friend of ours, very talented chef, still owns the Birch on Elm just across the street and a little bit bigger now. We did like this little collab.
Nice.
And we did it there, and it was awesome.
So I don't want to get too much into the details because I think we are going to pull back the details, but I want to kind of give everybody a little chance to kind of say it. Like, at this point, were you not on each other's radar?
So literally after that second dinner, I was like, this is going to like be something. I'm going to need help.
Okay.
I'm an idiot. I can't do social media. Like,
right there with you.
Yeah, I can post and everything. I can like tag people and stuff, but like just being on top of it, getting the content, getting the right content, posting it strategically, I had no idea how to do that. So I had known of Dante and Vidi for a long time. They actually worked with one of my exes at Apple, and I knew that they did this. I knew that they did digital marketing. I knew Vinny did photography. So it just clicked. I was like, why don't I reach out to this kid, Dante, kind of tell him where I'm at, and even just like bounce ideas off each other, just to like test the water, what I need. I might not even know what I need. So I gave him a call, and the next day we met up at a
Panera Bread.
And we've like quite literally been working side to side.
That's awesome.
Since that day.
That's awesome. Good for you for taking that leap of faith on people who you know, but not really that well, but to also know, be self-aware enough to know you can't do it alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing your strengths and weaknesses and knowing people that fill your weaknesses and kind of like balances is the key to anyone's success.
I think there used to be a time where you could do it alone, where you could be the owner and you could hire people. But nowadays I feel like it's getting so much more competitive, and the food is getting so much better, and you have to everyone has to be top of mind, and you need a ninja for everything today to be seen, to be top of mind. It's not easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like knowing your team of people and what they're good at and what you're good at and what you're not good at, it's just better for everyone. We're like social creatures. We belong in like a tribe, and just like 100%. Knowing how to use your tribe, I think is like pivotal.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
For sure.
I love that. So September was the first pop up. When was the second pop up?
I want to say it was October. I think it was early October.
So a month later.
Yeah.
And how many total pop ups with Dahlia alone would you say you did?
Oh man. I do a lot of private ones too, like a lot of smaller ones. But I guess like the large ones, I don't know, maybe like...
I'd probably ballpark it at like what, 20 to 30 maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking like 20 or 30.
20 to 30. And is that including like the private events?
No.
How many private events would you see?
I do probably like 2 a month.
Okay. So yeah, 24
so,
a year.
Yeah, so probably a little bit more.
So
if not
54
the same.
Total events a year on average.
I would
so
say that.
That's about one a week.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a good pace. So I have so many questions. I'm trying to figure out if so when did you do your first EdProof? I'm just trying to get a timeline in my head.
Yeah, no worries. So working alongside Dante and Vinny for a little bit, we got really close. And we just happened to start EdProof. We can kind of, if you want to get into that a little bit of how it, the dawn of.
So,
Dante's on the mic.
Yeah, hi, guys.
It's Dante Marianas.
Marianas.
Like the islands, right?
I've taken on a new new heritage.
I'm a jackass. So, I know
no, you are amongst, you are amongst the homies.
We really set you
Marina,
up for failure,
yeah.
Though.
Sorry, I have the sound test from earlier stuck in my head. So anyway,
I think that's going to be our one short for today's episode. We're never going to talk about pop-ups for on Instagram. It's just going to be four dudes making fart noises into the microphone.
That's the tribe mentality. We all got behind one like thing. All right, so Vin and I have owned Ethos Enable Creative in 2020. It was born in the pandemic because we started to see that businesses were not good at digital anything, and specifically restaurants. And we came up in restaurants. Our family owns Tony's Pizza down in Marblehead, and we've been like in and out of not only there, but like our first jobs were always in hospitality of some sort. Vin and I worked at Friendly's. We worked at Margaritas. My first job was a pizza delivery driver in Derry, where Buxton's Pizza is now. Shout out to him because I love Josh. And that's just kind of where we came up. And then along the way, we got burned out by it. We started to see that it just wasn't really our path, or at least at the time wasn't. So we went into the corporate world. Go us.
Timestamp this for me.
So this is 20. I'm trying to remember. This is about 2012. We went to Apple.
How old are you guys, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 35.
Okay.
34.
Okay.
I'm 32.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So at this point, this is 2012, you said?
This is about 2012. So I just graduated college.
You're young bucks. You're still wet behind the ears.
That's right.
Out of college.
Still got energy. So I had just graduated college. And for me, I wanted to get out of bartending. I was bartending at Margaritas literally right around the corner here. And I loved it. It was fun. I had a great time. But then I kind of told myself I needed to like grow up. So that wasn't the scene for me at the time. And by doing that, I found Apple. And like 9 interviews later for like a part-time gig, I'm there. And then I went to war for Vin to get in there because I know he wanted to leave too. And so we worked together at Apple. And then we went our separate ways I went into banking tech. Vin went into finance. And... you know, not glorious jobs sitting behind a desk. And you're, you know, I've always felt I've been entrepreneurial. Like as an example of that, my first year in college, and he can attest to this.
Yeah.
We had a friend who was over 21. He would buy us a shitload of alcohol. And then I would sell cups at the door for like $5 all night. And dude, our dorm was like, it's smaller than this like space that we're in. It was packed.
I love that.
I made a lot of friends at that time in my life. But like I did it because I wanted we don't come from money at all. And so Vin and I always felt the need to be independent, and our mom and dad taught us that, and this was my way of being independent and using my resources for what I got. So yeah, I dropped like $300 on alcohol for the weekend, but I made like $1,500. This is sick. And it was all kids that are from like out of state and all that shit. And like, you know, they don't have hookups or anything. They're knocking on dorm doors being like, do you have a beer? I'm like, sure, fucking do. So
dude, you reminded me, I used to work at a pizza place and I would get off shift. We would get like 50% off or like whatever we wanted to make. So I'd buy 3 pizzas and then sell them at a premium. And I would get out of work at like 10:30. Everyone's drunk. I'd show up with 3 pizzas and I'd like quadruple my like.
I
love that passion, dude.
Thank you. Well, this weird thing happens where you don't realize like, oh, I'm making money. Like I wasn't thinking of it that way. I was just thinking like, all right, I see the problem. The problem is all the freshmen want to drink and hang out. I have access to do this. How do I provide for them? And that's what I did. But I also need kind of money in my pocket let's kill two birds with one stone here. So I did that. And it felt cool, you know, for a while, but I had to stop doing it because your boy got busted, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's illegal to sell things.
Yeah,
on
it might be.
Without a license.
It's what they say.
Yeah. it was a different time back then.
Only if you get caught.
Right. So, yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a great time. But anyway, fast forwarding out of that, Vin and I worked at Apple together, and then we went our separate ways into, I went into banking tech, and for me, that was just kind of the death knell. I didn't.
What is banking tech? Anyway?
So my team, get ready to be so boring.
I still don't know what it means.
It's ridiculous. So banking technology, basically, like what we were working on was digital banking, like transactions and how they work and why they work. And like they have to get, there's so much,
everything.
So my team was working on a very archaic technology for this. And because of that, we were kind of like shunned in the basement. So I don't, so like, you know, in Office Space where they have the guy in the basement. Wow, with the red stapler, what's his name? I always forget. Anyway, they kind of like shunned us. Like we were just kind of like our own section. No one really like promoted us or anything like that. And me, I'm hungry. Like I want to get out there and start doing things. So the pandemic hits at this point. So it's about 2020. And I say, fuck it. I'm going to do something for myself. And Vin is just such an incredible photographer. And I always had a passion in web design, logo design, marketing. I went back to Southern New Hampshire University to get my MBA in marketing. And I didn't finish because it was just so much money, as we can all probably attest to. I'm still fucking paying it off.
I think marketing is right up there with like getting a degree in like culinary arts, where like there's so much information and so many people willing to like give you an opportunity that you can go get the information and learn as you do it.
Dude,
and
like, both things are so underrepresented. Yeah. Like I feel like between culinary arts and marketing, there is such a shared value set there it's just like every business needs it. And I think to be good at it is wanted, but no one really values it to the need that it is. Like, I think I heard you talking with the owner of May May, and you were talking about how
Fresh out of the gate.
Yeah, that dude, I listen. Yesterday. I try to listen.
Thank you.
And you were talking about how, of course, I'm losing my train of thought as I'm trying to think of this. Let's come back to that. But you were talking with her, and she was talking about how just like policies are just killing everybody and everything. And it's just one of those things where I think that like, we need to be better represented about understanding our values and showcasing that and how to get people on the same page with like, how do we,
well, she brought up policy and I agree that we do, it's a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
You need both. And it's trying to find the balance. And I think policy is important, but at the same time, policy gets set in stone is what we're talking about. And the world is dynamic. It's changing around these policies. And we're talking about like tipping basically and minimum wage, I think.
Yes.
And it's just like those rules don't make sense anymore. And the new, like we're being forced to operate a 1905 business model when we have opportunity to innovate and change business models and get creative and make money. We're in the experience economy today. You know, it's a different beast. So that, I think that's what you're referencing.
Yes. And also I remember my train of thought, you were saying that the restaurant industry is like the third most like
largest.
Third largest industry in the world. It's like, then why are we treating everybody like shit in the restaurant industry? Right. It's
because we're treating,
it's wild.
I don't want to put thoughts into your mouth, but why do you think we're treating people like shit?
I honestly don't know the right answer for this, or even if there is one, but I think maybe it's just kind of like the pandemic got us a little bit more entitled. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. And I guess like everybody just has a little bit more sensitivity and forgot how to be human. You know, I think being away from being social for that long and how things are being done was such a radical change that people find themselves almost relearning how to be social. And then they see that on TikTok, if someone like, you know, gets mad at a restaurant employee, it's funny, or like people will engage with that. And then, you know, we're all together just trying to say, you know, hey, no, we got to protect ourselves and we have to be people who back each other up and like stand together, even if we are different businesses. Like maybe there's two pizza companies or whatever that are, you know, looked at as competition, but really we need to be collaborative. We need to be in front of each other and stand up for each other when these kinds of things happen. And I don't know if that's the answer, but
you go further together and you can choose to not talk to the person down the street. But if that person down the street is talking to everybody else down the street and they're helping each other out, you're going to get left behind.
100%.
Yeah. And I think what's happening, and I'm really proud of Manchester, New Hampshire right now, because you're seeing it happen here. We're like, you know, when you approach Chris and said, I want to use your restaurant for a pop-up, he could have been like, no, I don't want you to like, you know, come in.
He absolutely could have.
Yeah, right.
Probably
or when you went across the street to do your pop-up.
Yeah.
And then Dan was working at that bar. It's, Brown, what's it called? Sorry. The bar that Danny was...
Birch and Elm?
Birch and Elm. Yes. Thank you. he was working there, and he opened his own bar down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were supportive. And Dan gave him a year notice or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, what goes around comes around. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to go on a rant. Cause
no, you're good.
I got three guests to make sure I get mic time. So
basically, to kind of spark notes, the journey of how we met was Vin and I created Ethos Enable Creative. Nice shirt. And we wanted to help businesses with digital marketing because you couldn't sit in a restaurant anymore. We thought restaurants were going away, yeah. You know, and a lot of people were really shifting gears. And that's when we started working with brands like Moat Mountain. We started working with Greenleaf. We started working with Tuckaway and all these, you know, awesome.
Hopefully Restaurant Stoppable.
Absolutely. You say the word. We're there, dude.
Who wants to live in a camper?
Let's go.
It's a queen size bed. There's plenty.
Oh, even better.
I'm a great snuggler.
We can all fit. But yeah, so we, you know, we started really kind of making a name for ourselves and just being different and being willing to, like, we never had set pricing or anything like that because restaurants, you know, you don't have a ton of capital to really work with. So we wanted to be cognizant of that. We wanted to be helpful. We wanted to help the community because they in turn would help us. And we knew that, we, you know, working with the Birch on Elm. So Matt hits me up one day on our Instagram and is like, all right, we got to meet and finally like talk this out.
This is after two Dahlia pop-ups.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Back to October of 2020.
Yes.
Correct. Paths yep. are intercepting. Vinny, do you want to add anything to that?
On how we met?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I just want to make sure you get some time.
No, we're good. No, I've known Matt for years. Like through the scene, through Apple. And then once we finally like sat down and talked, like, you know, what we needed for his restaurant, like the photography, the website, the basically like mold his vision into Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
And,
no, keep going.
Oh, I was done.
Okay, cool. You guys listen to the show. Thank you so much for your support. So you know that I'm trying to get into like the nitty gritty, the shit that you're not supposed to talk about.
Hell yeah.
So partnerships, cash flow, things like this. If I push too hard at any point, tell me. I'll read your body language. Mm-hmm. We won't go too far. But I mean, I'm really interested because I am curious about what this looks like on paper. Like what a pop-up looks like. Can you make money? Are you guys profitable? Are you all partners in the business?
Yes.
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 We're all equal partners.
Okay. So like, I mean, so many questions.
Bring it on.
So like,
let's go.
One thing I want to commend Matt for recognizing the need, and I think this is going to be something. I think the future of the restaurant industry is a future of different. I don't think you can do it alone without partnerships. And couldn't if you want to attract your onto yourself the best talent, the people that are going to treat it like they own it, they better own it, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that you go so much, you can do so much more with more people. And if you have big visions, maybe in the beginning it's going to be hard, but like with partners, you can go so much further. And the pie might be cut up more, but it's a much bigger pie. And I think that in the future, what you saw in these two gentlemen, I think you're going to see more and more marketing experts becoming partners in restaurants.
Oh yeah, I agree,
100%.
It's like a whole new like vertical CMO like. Everyone, like you have the chef, you have the back of house, and you know, you have the accountant, you have the lawyer that are often partners in yep. restaurants, and now 100% marketers, because that is such a huge part of it. It
really is.
Well, it comes down to like, I have, speaking about like Dahlia Restaurant, I had this idea, I knew what I wanted it to look like and feel like, I needed help getting it there. So when we sat down and met, I like gave Vinny like a stack of cookbooks.
Yeah.
One in particular is the 11 Madison Park cookbook. One of my favorites of all time. I think the photography in it is so simplistic but incredible. And I literally gave that to him. I was like, you look through this. This is how I want this to like look and feel. Like these are like the inspirations and bringing to your team or your tribe, people that can like help you get there is like there's no other way to do it.
Get more into your struggles with that, the first couple pop-ups.
A lot of it was like setting up the like back end of it, like setting up like the Eventbrite, the ticket sales and stuff, but then also marketing it. I had like I've cooked in Southern New Hampshire for the past like 12 plus years, so I had kind of gained like this network of people, of friends and chefs and restaurant owners and customers and regulars. So my reach was only that far. So just kind of taking my idea and telling people about it, but also showing them kind of like what I envisioned. I just didn't know how to do that. I can write posts. I can do some stuff on like, I won't say Photoshop. I used Microsoft PowerPoint to do 90% of my my like.
Oh, we know. That's confirmed.
Yeah.
Oh, we know.
And I, yeah, they, it's, yeah. And hence these two.
Yeah.
But I mean, but it's so like if you're like, it's just so, I think it's so smart to be self-aware, to put your pride aside and go ask for help, and to know that if you can manage the kitchen, like if you're a pop-up and you got the food on lockdown, do the 20% of the things that only you, your unique ability, the things that you're meant to do those things and surround yourself with the other people that you need to get to the next level. And I think as a pop-up, because you don't have as many moving parts as a restaurant, you don't have a bar, you don't have a giant kitchen,
yeah.
You don't have a front of house staff to manage. If you can just focus on doing the food and being creative and finding those partners, man, I feel like I'm echoing this at this point, but it's so smart.
It's important.
So how did you, how long were you working together before the word partnership came into the frame?
That's a great question. Like a year and a half,
Somewhere about a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah. Matt was, you know, really taken off with Dahlia, and then we fell in love with it. Like anytime he had a dinner, it's like, it's not only just like a recognition of talent, but it's more just like we just vibe really well together. And we started to kind of like see that forming without really even talking about it. Like it was just so natural.
Yeah, it was very, very natural.
You know, at least to me, it felt really natural. And I think do you want me to get into the Dead Proof story or just like keep leading up into?
I am curious what lanes, like during this first year working together, what lanes did you all fall in?
This first year working in Dead Proof, or like while we're still kind of like,
we're like in the first year with Dahlia.
So we pretty much like had it organized where, you know, Dahlia's Matt's, you know what I mean? So we're following his lead, and wherever he needs us and wants us is what we're going to do. So we came along as kind of like the sidecar to Dahlia, if you will.
Well, at first you were just contracting them out.
Help. And by contracting, it was texting Dante a date and an idea in the middle of the night. And he would come back with like the promo post or whatever, the actual post on social media.
Yeah.
He would add it to my website. He would have the Eventbrite done. So I would literally be like, okay, this is the date. This is the title, if you will, of the dinner there.
the Studio Ghibli one specifically was so sick. Cool. And like when I get an idea in my head from like, I love communities of ideas. Like I, when I get someone excited about something like Matt, like, you know, being excited to do like a Studio Ghibli dinner, or like Vin is just like so in love with like this photo set that he just did or something, and it comes to me to kind of like step in, and now it's my part, and I get obsessed with it. Like we'll probably get into the story of how Dead Proof created. It came out of obsession, but I think like literally Matt would text me at like what, midnight at least, and then be like, all right, yo, this is the date for the dinner, this is whatever, and I'm like, oh god, I love this so much. So I would just get on my computer and just let it rip and send it to him, and I'm like, all right, go ahead, let me have it. And he's like, dude, no, this is perfect, this is what I want. And I was just so like, it just felt good. Nice. You know what I mean? It always feels good when people like your work, but it feels even better when it's people you respect that like your work, you know. And so for me, that really meant a lot. And
I love that.
And Dante and I and Vinny all kind of vibed on the same level, where I could give this like nondescript vague explanation of what I wanted that like normally people would be like, what the hell are you talking about? But both Dante and Vinny could pick that up in those fragments and like piece together exactly what I envisioned, or very, very close to what I envisioned.
So there's this natural chemistry here between the three.
It was like our own hidden language.
Dead chemistry, if you will.
Dead chemistry, if you will.
I love it. Actually, now's a great time to take our first break to thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back to further unpackage what's going on.
Yeah, tasty tots. Pay the bills.
Tasty tots. This podcast is made possible by Restaurant Systems Pro, and we need to let you know that every second and fourth Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, CEO of Restaurant Systems Pro, Fred Langley, will be going live, where he'll cover what you need to know about running a profitable restaurant from soup to nuts. This live event will reveal the steps to manage the service and financial goals for your restaurant's productivity. Everyone who attends this live event will get a recording recording of the Restaurant Systems Pro 4-day How to Run a Profitable Restaurant from Soup to Nuts recording. This event costs $2,500 to attend live, and you'll get it for free. Head to go.restaurantsystemspro.net/restaurantunstoppable. That's go.restaurantsystemspro.net/restaurantunstoppable. This episode is brought to you by Restaurant Technologies, Inc. RTI's Total Oil Management automates your entire cooking oil process. With Total Oil Management, you get dependable fresh bulk cooking oil delivery, filtration plus oil usage monitoring and reporting, easy oil disposal, used cooking oil pickup and recycling, and say goodbye to those messy, dangerous restaurant rendering tanks. Yuck. RTI's end-to-end cooking oil system helps you manage your used cooking oil disposal, storage, collection, and recycling conveniently, safely, and cleanly with no upfront cost. RTI's services are not limited to oil. They also provide insurance premiums and automated hood cleaning solutions plus hood filtration systems, making your hood cleaning process easy, automatic, and worry-free. In addition to all this, Restaurant Technologies, Inc. can help you reduce your carbon footprint, which we all know is becoming increasingly more important to the consumer. Restaurant Technologies, Inc. is always on, so you don't have to be. To learn more, head to RTI-Inc.com and let them know Restaurant Unstoppable Podcast sent you their way.
We're back, and we never went anywhere. Ha ha. So,
psych. Got him.
Did another mic check.
No.
I will lose my mind.
At what point does the conversation partnership, you said about a year and a half in, right? Who reached out to who? Were you, like, and I am curious, like, what did your contract with them look like before a partnership?
The most informal, like,
you ever hear
not even
mouth?
A handshake. it was kind of like a knuckle bone.
You guys in the spit and shake.
And yeah. To kind of go back to them talking about Ethos and Able, when they started working with these restaurants, they I don't want to say pitch it because that sounds a little scammy. But
no, go for it.
But they were like, we want to grow with you. That was something that was very like evident, and you guys always push forward. Is like a lot of these like marketing companies, they're like, okay, here's the set rate. That's it, period. But Dante came in and was like, I really like what you're doing. I'm like really inspired by like the idea of like the pop-up. I want to grow with you. So we never had an official contract.
Yeah.
Ever. They just grew with Dahlia.
And it was sick for us because knowing each other for how long we did and actually now finally like doing something physical like this was great. And it gave Vin a platform to work on his photography. It gave me a platform to really sharpen my skills in marketing and just like what I bring to the table. And I think we all benefit from that, from just being good at certain things, and not only being good, but being passionate about those things we want to be good at. Like, you can be a great mixologist, but if you fucking hate working at a bar, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter, right? Whereas, like, for us, we just kind of recognize, like, we have our strengths, and this is a really cool idea to just see where this takes us. And if it's great, great. If it's not, then we take it back to the drawing board and work on it.
Now, how many clients did you guys have when you first started working with Matt?
Oh, Jesus. We had,
I'm
what,
like, trying to say the name of
we
your
had,
business.
We had about, like,
Ethos and Able.
Ethos and Able, yes, sir.
I think we had about, like, 4 to 5 at the time.
About, like, 5 to 7 about that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. A little more than that.
Because we were doing random work. Because, like, we would have month-to-month clients for, like, social media and content, but we would also have one-off, like, website clients, which once the website's done, you know, they might reach out and just be like, hey, I need to update
more
this.
More, like, small projects.
Exactly, right. Website's a big project, but yes, I know what you're saying.
Well, yeah, but like short period. Yeah. Is what I meant.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah. Easy down.
Sorry.
Getting aggressive.
Settle down.
I just don't want to say Manchegas again. So anyway, we just had a bunch of clients. We got a lot of interest because people were leaning into digital and people were trying to be better. And they're like, oh shit, we need to be on Instagram to really like flex what our menu looks like and how takeout is done and set an expectation with people, because they can't just do that when people are walking up to your door being like, oh, this is normal dining now. It's like, no, now you have all these rules and regulations to abide by to keep people safe. And like, we're looking at COVID, as we should have, is just like this really high pressure, gonna shut down my business thing. So we need people to be very clear about what our rules are, how we're changing our service. And most of the owners and operators of restaurants specifically have too fucking much going on to not only know all these new rules and regulations, but stay to the regular permits and everything else. And then they're like, marketing is just gone.
Right.
Like, who gives a shit? I just want to turn my, I just want to turn the door open.
Right.
And so Vin and I came in with that mentality and with that ethos, if you will. God, that was so corny. Of being like, listen, we understand that this is a lot and we understand there's probably not a lot of money and that's okay. Yeah. We just tell us what you can work with, what you need, and we will find a way.
So do you currently work with other businesses today, or are you one, or do you stick mostly with Deadproof?
So we've evolved EA into not taking on as much because Deadproof, I think for us, is really the thing we've been most passionate about. EA is still very relevant. We have good people in place to help with that while we kind of, you know, do this together. But really what it comes down to is just, it's more manageable now.
Yeah.
And purposefully. You know, I used to look at EA and Vin, obviously, you know, feel free to enter your piece here, but I've always looked at EA as a way for me to just be better at the things that I love doing. But I want to do those things for something I love doing. I don't want to say I fell like out of love with marketing because that's not the case. I love branding. I love doing like what I do, but I think to be able to do it for us, like through Deadproof and like really have that kind of be the way we do things, to me just ignited a flame that I honestly didn't even know was
there.
You're
closer to the work too. You're reaping the benefits of your work.
You're marketing your own brand.
Yeah, you're
seeing it play through to the very end user, the consumer. Whereas before it was probably more transactional work. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
And like, you didn't get to see how it played out.
Yeah. Marketing is such a volatile market, like industry. It's just very cutthroat and in a way where like, and not even in a bad way, like a lot of people just look at us and sometimes we are the first cut in budgets, which are super tight. And then working with restaurants is another added caveat of why it's difficult to be in that industry.
Yeah.
The people that do it full time, like the people I talk to and run in circles with marketing, are finding the same struggles. And so it's just like, okay, looking long term here, this probably won't be sustainable. And I don't want to wake up and be the day that it's not sustainable anymore. So when we started doing Deadproof, it started to click. And I'm just like, okay, I think this is the way.
What was different about Deadproof that made it click?
Doing it together. Yeah. For sure. I mean, being able to rely on Matt for back of house menu stuff and having Vin come through and literally do like be the jackknife of everything. And I can focus on the business management and make sure, you know, everybody's getting paid and scheduling and getting our events going and marketing and the things that really make us different. The fact that I don't have to focus on a menu, you know, we'll always collaborate on things. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying like Matt only does menus, but like, who else is really going to, you know what I mean? Like, why would I not default?
That's his lane.
You know,
I mean, we're really great at, we're really great at naming the pies.
Yeah. We can name a pie. But I mean, when it comes down to it, we just all have the things, just like Matt said earlier, that we fill each other's gaps.
Got it.
And, you know, we become like one whole Lego block.
So a year and a half in, now we're looking at 2022.
Bingo.
Spring of 2022.
January 20th of 2022 is when we made it official.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did that official? LLC. So you started the official LLC. Was it Dahlia or Deadproof?
No, it was Deadproof.
It was Deadproof.
So what was the reason for shifting away from Dahlia and trying to do something like pizza?
Truthfully, I have like ferocious ADHD.
Okay. So a little more context for listeners. Dahlia was a fine dining kind of spin-off.
It's like a pop-up. Yeah, like a multi-course tasting menu pop-up.
Deadproof is
a pizza pop-up.
Got it.
I would say like a pizza and like a, we say fat kid stoner food. I think that's
elevated
the best.
Fat kid stoner food.
Elevated fat kid stoner 100%. Food.
I love it. So yeah, I would say it's pretty
good. That's a good description.
You had it.
I lost my train of thought.
So I was asking you, but what the fuck was I asking?
Why Deadproof?
So you went from fine dining.
I remember. Truthfully, I have like ferocious ADHD. I love what I do, but to just do that in one aspect, like just doing fine dining, like I also love like smash burgers and pizza, and I love cooking that shit too, and I love kind of marrying those two worlds of like the elevated cuisine and like the
fast
greasy,
casual
fast casual.
When did the conversation of pizza first come into the mix?
So we rented it. So Matt had his test kitchen in Milford, and in that building was an office that was looking to be leased. So he had asked me, hey, I have this space in Milford. Do you want to come do it? And we were like, hell yeah, let's go make an office out of EA. So I had a client that reached out to me that wanted to do pizza, and he didn't know what to name it. He didn't know a vibe. He's just like, I just want to make pizza. And I was like, all right, cool. He's like, can you come up with a brand for me? So, yep, sure can. So right when I started getting into this, our friend DJ, who owned Culture in Milford at the time, he was looking to rebrand Culture because he had just acquired it from Chris Vio that owns Greenleaf. And he was looking to rebrand it to make his own thing, as I think any of us would. And so with that, we started coming up with names, and Matt had this fucking awesome name for
the... At the time, I was the bread baker at Culture. I would do, like, just work nights making bread. And we had kind of come up with this name, Deadproof, from this bread dough that I let go too long and it overproofed.
The proof died.
Yeah, the proof died. And I was like, I bet you this make really good pizza.
It's like looking around.
Yeah, I was like,
No one's there. He's just like, oh,
I got everything pizza. Else I want in.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
When in Rome.
Yeah, exactly. So
ADHD on full blast.
We thought the name Deadproof was funny, and I liked the kind of play on words, if you will. But also, it's a very like marketable name.
Yes. So is your pizza a long ferment? Is that part of the unique selling proposition, or is it just
no? It's like, I mean, my pizza dough is like a descendant from like my sourdough bread recipe. So it's its own thing, but just the name itself came from that overproofed bread. And we decided, DJ Dante and Vinny and I, that Milford, New Hampshire wasn't quite the demographic to hit
with. They weren't ready.
Deadproof Bakery.
They were not.
The follow-up was Crumb Shot, which I still still really like. But
that's definitely back-pocketed.
So, yeah, we back-pocketed both of those.
Trademark.
And when I walked into our joint office, going back to when Dante was working with that pizza client, I saw him working on it, and I was literally like, what the fuck's that? I love, like, don't, that's ours. Like, don't give that to anyone. Don't show anyone.
And before he said, and before we even got into that, because this day was so funny, before we even got into that, Matt is just like, why aren't we going to this? Where is that? And I'm like, it doesn't exist. And this is the branding behind Deadproof that everybody knows it today. And I started just making like a spot that like we would go to, you know what I mean? I'm like, what would be a sick, like just kind of alt fat kid stoner food style place that we could go to? Everybody's welcome. It has a little bit of an attitude, but like you can get behind it.
Names.
Yeah, exactly. All the pizzas have dumb names. And so, you know, Matt walks in on me working on this. He's just like, what the fuck is that? Where is this? And I'm like, it doesn't exist. He's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, so I'm making this brand for a client, and I sent it to the client, and the client hated it. He was just like, yeah, I don't want this at all. He's like, I'm sorry to like waste your time on this and everything. I'm like, oh, dude, this is so sick though. So like, he didn't love it. He wanted to be more conservative, and I just, I don't know, I wanted to be more wild with it. So we just said, fuck it. So after going through this with Matt, we talked about very briefly, it was just the idea of like, we should do pizza.
Wasn't because we saw the rock boxes, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So you saw the rock boxes.
Tag to Gosney.
Yeah, for real. Please sponsor us. yeah, we saw the rock boxes. We thought they were so sick. We started really getting into like, okay, pizza pop-ups are sick. Why don't we do this? And then Matt is like, all right, we're doing this. And I'm like, doing what?
Yeah.
He goes, we're selling pizza.
Yeah,
I'm like, who's selling pizza?
We're gonna do pizza. We're gonna do Deadproof.
You guys try to calzone in the rock box yet?
We have
it burns
a version,
the fuck out
a version of it.
Do you want to talk about the double stack?
So I created this thing called the double decker.
Okay.
It's not what you think.
It's not what you think.
Two pizzas on top of each other?
Basically. Yeah. So in the middle, it's just all Mott's in the middle of it, and we'll just dress it like, you know, a staff meal style pizza, which is just, you know, whatever we have out there that I'm feeling like I want to eat this, but with that, and top it with this, you know, staff meal. It's kind of like whatever we want to make it. And so I was just like, I'm going to make a double decker pizza with this and see how that works in the oven. Came out phenomenal.
So good.
So it's like a secret menu item, like super, super secret.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So yes, in a way we have done calzones.
Yeah.
We've done some strombolis too.
Oh yeah. The strombolis.
Again, for staff.
Do you turn on the heat on them? Cause I've noticed when I cook, like when I'm ripping, like I would a pizza, like the top burns.
Yeah, so it's definitely like temperature control. But not to get too into our setup, but how we set up our ovens, we usually have one. We call it the finisher.
Okay.
And it's usually kicked down a little bit lower than the rest of them. And that's like for our heavy topped pizzas that just need a little bit more melt time, but not more like crust time.
Yeah, those ovens get hot.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Fucking crazy.
They war.
Yeah.
We learned that very early.
I try not to talk about the food on the show.
No, it's all good.
That's how we're different. I do want to get more
and our food sucks anyway. So.
The business. I mean, your food is phenomenal. I got to try the pizza. That is not true. Do not listen to him. So, Dead Proof, your first. I mean, do you care about talking about? Do you mind if we talk about money and the?
Absolutely.
So with Dahlia, like, what kind of how many people were showing up on average?
So I liked to cap mine. The thing with Dahlia is like I wanted to control every variable I could, which I needed to like kind of navigate those COVID waters. So I usually capped the like larger, like actual pop up events at like 30 max.
30. Okay.
So
how much were you selling the tickets for?
Anywhere between like. It was like $125 to like $150 a person. The private ones were a little bit more.
So upwards of like $10,000 for an event. My math off?
I think so.
30 times 125. Right? Wait, no, I'm way off.
I was like maybe $3,000.
I definitely did not do.
We're some real mathletes over here.
Not math is.
Where's
not
all my money?
Can we talk numbers?
This is why I'm afraid to talk about numbers.
No, it wasn't you. That's us. Just like
I'm also the worst.
It's 3,700.
We 404 right there.
You made me stop for a second.
I just lost half my life.
No, it's all good. When you said that number, I was just like, oh, God, is that true?
I think I threw an extra
why are we doing this?
Hold on. Why are we fucking doing this?
Matt, are you keeping all the money?
Yeah, right.
So you were doing about $3,700 in
that.
What was your overhead?
So not much, just being as like a pop-up. How we did it is I would go into, like, let's say you own this restaurant. Let's say you own Industry East.
Shout out to Dan Haggerty for letting us record our podcast.
That beautiful, beautiful man.
Dan and Jer Bear.
Dan was the one who called out these gentlemen to be a guest on the show.
Yeah.
So, side note. Okay, back to money.
Back to money. So, let's say you own Industry East, right?
Yeah.
I come in here and I'm like, I want to do a pop-up with you guys. This is how we do it. I would usually, it was kind of tailored to each individual because it was like a, it was new, so it was like a conversation. We kind of decided on something, but it usually came down to I would take the gross amount from ticket sales. You would get anywhere between like 20% and 30% of that.
Okay.
Like that would just go to the restaurant.
Okay.
We would usually do it on a day where you weren't open, let's say Sunday, because industry's closed on Sunday. We have done one on a Sunday in industry.
So you're paying them about $750 for a night?
Just to be in there.
Got it.
And the cool part was is I didn't do any of the bar stuff. So I would go into a place like Industry and be like keep your bar open, like we'll do some cool shit behind the bar. That's all you. I don't touch any part of that. That's none of my business.
So they're getting the sales from
all the liquor
on the liquor.
Which usually was a lot.
And this is the cool thing about pop-ups too, is usually when you start developing your following, you have a crowd that comes with you.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you're pulling business.
We definitely
you can use that as leverage to find locations.
Yeah. Yeah, and we would either the chef wanted to collaborate or it was just kind of like, I'm coming in to do a Dahlia pop-up.
The chef wants a night off.
Yeah, exactly, which is also awesome. I love being able to do that too. But yeah, I would have 2 to 4 people depending on the menu and like the environment, like in industry. I'm not going to have 4 people work with me. There's just not enough room.
So you'd bring 2 people with you.
Yeah, usually.
And pay them.
Yep, so, and it was usually just a flat rate. It was like $200-$250 a night, and they would literally work for a couple hours. All the prep, everything beforehand was just me and my wife, Lauren. And they would just come and help execute.
So we're at about $1,100 right now of operational costs.
Yeah, about that.
And then you haven't brought in the cost of goods.
Yeah, and then so as a lot of like more fine dining restaurants, like the food cost is generally typically a little bit higher than the average. I don't like to go over 30% ever. If it's at 30 for us, like it's like an alarm. But for like a more fine dining environment, especially something that's doing like tasting menus, it's not unheard of to operate at like a 35 around there.
I'm still doing math. I'm using my calculator now because I don't trust
him. He's double checking me. He's like, this kid's a fucking liar.
No, I'm just trying to give real numbers.
How did this dude keep the lights on?
Jesus. Yeah. So 1,100 basically is what you're putting towards food costs.
Yeah, usually around there.
So we're at 1,100 approximately.
Yeah.
Plus, what do we say about 8? You said 400 for two people.
Yeah.
Plus 750 to get the actual space. So you're at 2,275. So there's still $1,000 of profit that you can make left in the bone up to this point.
Yeah. And the food cost percentage is a little bit different for what I did, because I would buy a lot of whole animals or like half a pig, and that half a pig I would butcher strategically, and I would make sausages or preserve some or free some, cryovac and free some, so that one pig could last me an entire season at Dahlia, whereas in a restaurant it would last however long you're going to run specials.
Right. And then there's still tax that we haven't discussed that you have to take off of that. So mm-hmm. that's another 15%.
Yep.
So 30 times 125 equals, what did we
say? The short answer to this is not a lot of profit.
So you're looking at $600 a night, I'm guessing, is what you take home.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad night's work.
No. And that's me and my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad night. You can make a living off that.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's just a lot of legwork just to get to those.
So where I'm going with this, and why I'm trying to be critical about the numbers, because I see Deadproof pop up. I'm like, okay, let's do the same thing with Deadproof in terms of costs.
Okay. I'm going to let Dante take that.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I'm just thinking, what is
your, there's a lot,
you're
to
limited
it.
To 30 people with fine dining, right?
Yeah.
How many people can you serve with Deadproof?
We've done as little as one person, and we've done as many as 400 plus.
Okay, so throughput potential through the roof.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
what about cost of goods?
Cogs are
so much cheaper.
It's so much cheaper.
Yeah. Flour and water.
But
flour, water, baby.
Yeah.
And not only that, but to Matt's point, elevated fat gets donor food. We don't want to use bad shit. So for us, we're bringing in Ezo sausage. We're using King Arthur flour. We're using, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of good ingredients that we love and we know work. And we don't want to hamstring ourselves with just being pizza's all right. It's pizza, right? But the way Matt does things and the way we put together menus and the way we market those menus, and, we want it to be special. We want it to be an experience. And I think people really see that, come through. And that doesn't come through unless we have good product coming through. Manchego from Black Eyed Susan, Sheep Dairy.
We use a lot of, like I would in a Dahlia restaurant environment, we utilize as many local purveyors and businesses as we can.
Even with all that, the amount of labor that's going into, you're not breaking down a pig every time you do a Deadproof.
Not yet.
Your man hours alone.
Yeah.
Are crazy. Our labor is nuts.
One of the biggest differences, to kind of touch back on what we were talking about going from Dahlia to Deadproof, was that other than the social media and photography, every other aspect of Dahlia fell directly on me. Which is a lot of work. I'd run restaurants my whole life, and it was just a lot.
I apologize in advance for the noises.
No, as long as it's not
believable, be professional. Stop.
Every time.
Keep going.
Every time. But now I have these two to do it with me. So my wife says it all the time. She's like, I love that you can rely on Dante and Vinny, because I didn't have anyone but her to rely on with Dahlia. It was kind of just
you
go for, me.
You can't do it alone.
No, you can't.
Or your mental
well-being. If you do,
well,
it so sucks. Yeah. If you're doing
especially the
it
mental
all alone, it's not healthy.
Right.
Couldn't agree more.
So having Dante and Vinny, even someone hey, this doesn't come in. Can you stop at the store and get anything, salt? Even just something as little as that, it's so nice to be able to rely on them.
I've helped out on some Dahlia dinners when I was photographing for you, running dish and helping out as much as I can.
Yeah,
I see you guys struggle with some events, and you're just someone calls out last minute, which does happen.
Well, yeah, but I see this a lot with interviewing chefs, is they have their dream restaurant, the thing that they shoot for it out of the gates, and it's usually something that's a fine dining, from scratch, and I don't want to say this is the case in every situation, but then I think today you almost have to do that kind of food if you're going to get the accolades you need to draw the business to what you're doing. Without the accolades, you're not busy enough to pay for the level of cooking you want. You can't support your values is one of the things we were talking about with Irene yesterday, where you have all these grand visions and you want to do the right thing, but it's not easy to do the right thing in today's world and be profitable. So they shift and they put their dream restaurant aside and they focus on developing a cash cow, which can support the dream.
and they end up doing the dream later when they have they've scaled their business. And I recommend starting there and figuring out a way you can create something that's scalable so it can support the thing that you want to do if you weren't getting paid at all, because you probably won't be.
You're so, exactly right.
Yep.
Nailed it. I think, and I was wondering if that was going on here, if it was intentional or if you just really like the brand.
I mean, we love the brand. I think this is a culmination of the three of us, and I think like there's a lot of us in this. We live it when we go out there. We're very authentically ourselves, and while a lot of people may look at a pop-up or think, oh yeah, this is great for money. I'm like, yeah, the money can be good, but also the money can really fucking suck. Right. You know, it's the risk you take and kind of going into things that you enjoy doing and playing things off of each other and really sharpening all of our strengths to continue to grow in this space. Like, I love not being able to have to pay somebody rent to go out and like rip pies. You know what I mean? Like, that's the shit. We don't have to pay utility bills in a building. We don't have to worry, are people going to come to us? We're going to them. And, yeah. And for us, this is like not only a fun, this is not only like a good business to be in with the pop-up to proof our concept, which we've been doing and people really seem to dig it, which has been incredible, the amount of support we've had. But more than that, like, we can do it without the overhead of being scared shitless of, right, are we going to make
$1 million in debt?
Yeah. And we get the change of scenery. We're not, right, like stuck in the same walls all the time. Yeah. And like, to Matt's point, like, we can literally just text each other and just be like, yo, if I need like a mental health day, or like Matt has something going on with the family, or Vin's not feeling well or something, like, we cover each other.
You can absorb it.
There's nothing the three of us can't do that when the other's gone, they couldn't come in, right, and do.
So, I mean, the rest of today's conversation, I want to pretend that it's the three of you sitting at home in 2021, right? Like, you're all starting to get involved. Like, Matt, you've been going with your papa for a little over 6 months now at this point in the storyline. Like, get, like, where you were then and talk to the past version of yourself. Like, I want to pull lessons that you guys learned the hard way that you can pay forward to the next person trying to do a pop-up. So, like, what were the biggest challenges, the biggest struggles? Finding a location? Driving traffic to the pop-up?
I think the biggest struggle for the pop-up is always the paperwork.
Okay, like, what kind of paperwork?
Like your permits and, yeah, your
offsite catering, yeah, and like just all these different things that New Hampshire makes.
Yeah, pop-up is difficult. Still relatively new to New,
yeah,
Hampshire.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, it's still kind of wild, wild west.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where,
oh, yeah,
food trucks have, like, the policy has caught up with food trucks. Where, mm-hmm, now it's just like people are like, oh, like, if we don't catch you, then you're good.
So I will say the town doing it right is in fact our state capital in Concord where, mm-hmm, they have a year license to be a food truck.
And it's not just a truck, it's a food vendor.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of, yes, the niche that we're at, is we're not a truck, but we're still self-contained. And that was kind of like that weird gray area that yes, most towns don't know what to do with us. And usually that answer is no if they don't know what to do with us.
And you have a bunch of self-governing towns that have different paperwork for each pop-up, and they're all the popular towns you want to be in. You want to be in Derry and Nashua and Manchester. And, you know, like, each town we go into, if we're in a different town, which we normally are, we have to fill out different paperwork.
Right. So how soon do you wait to start that paperwork?
We don't.
Yeah.
Anymore. Yeah. It's immediately.
So I've really always been this way, but more so lately is I'm an administrative black belt. So for me, like, I need to be on top of this shit or else we don't go out and we don't make money.
Yeah.
And
you can't wait till the last do it. Minute, right. Like, the person that has to sign that might be out.
Right.
Or,
like,
on vacation.
Like Manchester has a health permit. You need to have 14 days ahead of any event. But, you know, what's been happening lately with us is, I don't know if you've been following along, but the Manchester Inkling is doing this like Manchester Madness, like, pizza bracket. It's sick. And we are in the Elite Eight right now, but nobody believes that we're real.
We're the Bigfoot of that competition.
We are the Bigfoot of that competition. And everybody's like, where do I go to pizza? It's like, dude, look at our social, look at all these things. But regardless of that, is we want to strike while the iron's hot on this and pop up somewhere and be in Manchester all week. But we can't. We have to wait 2 weeks. The contest is over, like, yeah, what, next week? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's going to lose all its allure. It's going to, and
so,
and it's,
you legally,
well,
can't,
no,
promote yourself right now because of the regulation.
We can promote ourselves in terms of like, hey, we're, you know, we're real people. But like, in terms of like,
what, if we, dinner party, could you have a private dinner party at your house? And then that would be a workaround.
We could, but I think when it comes to Dead Proof, we want to have the experience out there, like our tent, our music, our us, you know what I mean? Like be out there and like set up the tent. Like when we do restaurant takeovers, like we just did one at the River House in Milford, you know, it's all that, you know, you don't know it's us in there. You just kind of like walk in and boom, it's Dead Proof. We're going to be at the Ricochet this Saturday. We're going to put like signs up and all this stuff. And like, you know, they're great homies of ours and it's going to be really fun. And then
Shoppers
on Sunday in Manchester. And we can do that because Nick owns that's Nick's building and he can have us as guest chefs.
Got it.
And we can run it in there. But when it comes to like Dead Proof, like us, like just us, we can't just set up our tent in like.
So if I'm reading between the lines, is one of the challenges you're getting is getting to be like the policy and regulation associated with doing it and having to really be ahead of the curve and like get the paperwork done as soon as possible. So you're not cuffed.
Bingo.
Cause like if you owned a brick and mortar, like you could pull the trigger today and
like
promote something and have people here tomorrow. So that's one of the hurdles is like you can't be as reactive to what's happening in real time. You have to be more proactive.
Yeah. And that's so hard when people spring, like, you know, like how long does news stay not stale? You know, for 2 weeks, right?
Right.
2 weeks. Like, we're a society of short form content. So
that's like an eternity.
Yeah. You know? It's like, and I'm only speaking specifically to Manchester, which we love. When we're here, love it. Absolutely love it. Our first pop up was here. We do a bunch of pop ups here, and it's awesome. But sometimes it just takes us too long to really get into something, especially when we've been here before. They know us, they know our operation, how we do things. You'd think that there might be, and any Manchester officials, if you're listening, an expedited process of past people who have been here.
Well, the cool thing about doing other restaurants is I'm pretty sure that you get, as long as it's in a food producing facility, you kind of fall underneath their license. Do you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So like you could do a pop-up here. Hey, Danny, we need a pop-up tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah. He'd be like, come in and rip.
Right. But we're also closed at lunch here. So like that's a perfect example where you could have a standing pop-up.
Yeah. The holdup with that for us specifically is, there's only so many pizza or so many ovens we can cook our pizzas out of. But we were literally talking about that with Dan while you were setting up.
I don't think you can cook pizza back there.
No. So that's when we do these kitchen takeovers. We balance the menu with things that aren't just pizza. That's kind of when we get into our like our smash burgers, our fried chicken sandwiches, and the dope wings that we do and stuff like that.
The tots.
I want to try our wings. I haven't had the wings yet.
The wings are good.
The wings.
They change every time, but the wings are always good.
I love a good wing.
Yeah,
I'm back.
Not
to
on
food.
We don't talk about food on this podcast.
Yeah, no
food on
this podcast, Eric.
Well, so it happens when you get to experience it and then you interview. And that's why I always do the food after the interview because I don't get distracted by it.
But that's really fair.
I love that. That's smart.
So, okay. What was your train of thought, Matt?
Yes, we could just pop up in any restaurant. But to kind of touch on, like, they're closed for lunch. We could do lunch. Not every restaurant's closed for lunch. Not every restaurant has like the equipment that we would need to successfully do pizzas. So we kind of come in and just like
work around it.
Yeah, work around it.
I feel like you could put like sheet pans over fryolators and on top of like ranges to make it flat and just throw your ovens right on top of those. And because that's what because you have to be under a hood, right?
They run on propane though, and I don't want to run propane inside. It's
a little dangerous.
Not an idea we haven't thoroughly discussed and maybe tested.
What are you talking about?
I just don't like running propane.
But under a hood, it would be safer.
Terrifying. Well, it's the propane itself. Like you can't have, if I'm remembering correctly, you can't have a propane tank running like an like one of our ovens within like 15 feet of a building.
Okay.
Yeah. So like our very first pop-up we ever did wasn't even pizza. It was tacos for the Manchester Taco Tour. And we literally were like, how the fuck are we going to do this if we can't plug in our ovens and like use these to like rip tacos or pizza? And we had to be very, very creative and very
it's like
nimble.
A steam well induction burner day. Yeah.
And so we just let it rip with that. And that's when we found out the rules and regulations are going to be a lot harder and things are going to be stacked up against us even higher.
Okay.
Along
this line of the evolution, the things you've been learning, you've been doing it now for almost 4 years, right? 4 years this year in September that you've been doing pop-ups.
Yep.
So what are like the biggest things that you learned the hard way beyond the licensing? This is the first thing you mentioned, the level of proactivity that's involved with it, having to bring your gas ovens into physical spaces that might not be safe to do your pop-up. Along these lessons, continue along that vein of like the big lessons you learned.
Transportation within
itself. I was
going to
say transportation.
Is a nightmare
is
the biggest thing. Like, logistically, that's one of our biggest hurdles is where do we get all of our things from this part to this part? Also, while keeping our, like, all of our food and our meats cold.
Right, because I think you guys use a U-Haul.
Oh, yeah. Right now we
are keeping a lot of people employed at U-Haul.
You want to hear a really dirty number?
Please don't. What, how much we spent on U-Hauls last year?
This is gross. I'm going to take my headphones
off. We spent over $20,000 on U-Hauls. Just last year.
Wow.
Could you imagine if we could...
Bought a truck and put different things
and so use that money for better shit? Well... Can I say it?
Yeah.
You guys cool?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, nothing now. We recently got approved from the Regional Economic Development Center in Raymond that we've been working with for, Jesus, like a year and a half.
Yeah.
We were like, anytime we went to a bank for a loan, and I'm sure you just went through this, right? Anytime you go for a bank with a loan and you are in a, you're a business less than 2 years, and especially when you're a partnership, they look at you and they go, yeah, dude, no. Like, yeah, we're not going to give you money.
Risk.
It's a huge risk. And for us, we're like, all right, we need a food trailer. We need something. And the reason we settled on trailer versus truck is if the engine blows in the truck, we're fucked. But if the engine blows in the truck that's pulling the trailer, we can just go to U-Haul and be like, hey guys, can we grab that
temporary fix?
That's it.
Yeah.
Easy. And we can get to place. We're not losing as many services.
I put a lot of this thought into my camper too.
Yeah.
Like I put the money in the truck.
Yep.
And as long as, and then I can always swap out the shell.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're so right. Yeah. And it's just one of those things we took into consideration. But recently we have been,
I got that backwards, by the way, and now I'm realizing.
What's that?
I said it backwards, but...
Oh, it's all good.
Keep going. What you mean.
We know what you mean. A post-edit thing. Yeah. But we recently got the green light from them for funding for a trailer, and breaking news, we're going to be also creating Dead Chemistry, which is a mobile bar to kind of go with our pizza.
I hope you're leaning on Dan for that.
That guy doesn't know shit about mixology.
Mobile bars?
No, I'm kidding. He's very much
sorry,
like
Dan,
as soon as
who?
Yeah, sorry. Dude. As soon as we he was in because he was handsome. You know, that was it. But like past that, but no, it's one of those things that like whenever we get contracted for private events, every time it's, do you guys know a mobile bar? And it's just like, why don't, it's like, we're fun. So, like, why don't we do this?
Relatively untapped market.
Exactly. Yeah. And that market is even harder.
It's a lot more paperwork.
Yeah. But we've made friends with a lot of cool people between Dan, Free Spirits in New Hampshire. They're great. And you know, kind of like guide us along the way. Like we have the idea. We just know it'll bang if we do it, but we just need to do it. So
to do it scared.
So yeah. And do it absolutely fucking terrified. But we did it to make our lives easier. We're not getting any younger. You know, this setup, like just to kind of take you through it, is we have all of our stuff stored in a storage unit. We go to that storage unit and load the U-Haul. When the U-Haul's loaded, we go to our location and then we unload the U-Haul. We make this whole kitchen. We erect all of our...
Just to butt in, our food isn't stored in a storage unit. We make a stop at our commissary.
Okay. Yes.
I was about to interject, be like, the commissary, dude. Gotta get our food.
Sorry. See, this is why you have partners, to fill in your gaps.
Refrigerators and everything.
Yeah.
Fridges are everywhere.
The biggest lesson is just keep showing up, right? Because you can't... Unless you have, you know, your privilege, you have money behind you or whatever, a rich uncle or something.
Which we did not.
Yeah, no. We didn't
start
when
you can.
Those.
Keep showing up.
Nah, dude.
Time will be proof of concept. And if you can get over that 2-year marker in business, right? All these things will eventually happen where like you have good credit, all this stuff. Just keep showing up and do a good job and you'll be able to get the resources and just chip away slowly.
Yeah.
Like once you guys get the trailer, is that going to solve all of your problems?
Oh my God. Yes.
It'll solve a lot of our problems.
It'll solve a good chunk of like, cause like after an event, you're just beat depending on where we are, especially if it's like a long festival day. Like, after you just get done, like Salem, Mass, for example, we did how many pies that one day?
Like 380.
380 in a span of like 4 hours while we were there.
How much do your pies cost on average?
Anywhere between like, you know, 12 to, especially like if you get to like the specialty pies that we do that we change out weekly, it could be up to like 17, 18.
Again. We've done a $100 pie.
Yeah, we did a $100 pie for charity at the Three Saints.
Yeah, Feast of Three Saints. Feast of Three
that
Saints.
Was a cool one.
And Market Days the year before.
Definitely. But yeah, I was saying like after the event, we're just all wiped out. People want to talk to us, other vendors, we have to network. And that's when we were just like fumes. We're just on fumes. And we have to load up this U-Haul with all of our stuff, wait for our ovens to cool off to put them on the U-Haul, drive it wherever we are. Let's say, you know, from Stratham or Salem back to Milford to drop everything off.
Central Vermont.
Yeah. Drop everything back off and then bring this U-Haul back to where we get it and then drive home.
And it's increasingly frustrating to watch. I mean, obviously not for them, but just the idea that people can just hitch their trailers and get out of there.
Yeah.
And we're stuck loading a U-Haul.
Yeah. We're always first in, last out.
Have we only taken one break for sponsors? I think we've only
taken one.
Yeah, just
we're going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors and we'll be right
back. Pay them back.
Picture this. It's the end of the month and you're working your way through a shoebox full of invoices and manually entering costs into a janky spreadsheet that is being held together by bubblegum and prayers. And after hours of eye-stabbing tedium, you realize that your numbers don't even match. Oh my God. We've all been there. But it doesn't have to be this hard. Margin Edge can free you from spreadsheet hell. That's because Margin Edge is a complete restaurant management software that automates invoice processing and shows you your food costs and labor in real time. Just snap a picture of your invoice and Margin Edge takes it from there. Margin Edge will process your invoices automatically with line item detail and combine that information with sales from your POS to give you real-time reporting, including a daily P&L, up-to-date plate costs, and updated inventory count sheets. Stop spending hours to get numbers you're not 100% confident in when you could spend minutes and have accurate, real-time food and labor costs. Visit marginedge.com/unstoppable to learn more and to get a free monthly restaurant sales report packed with exclusive industry trends, data, and insights. This episode made possible by Owner.com. Owner.com is the quickest and easiest way for your customers to order directly from you without the expensive 30% commission fees. With Owner.com, you'll save thousands every month when customers order through your website and branded app instead of third-party delivery apps, and reward your customers with a built-in loyalty program that turns them into regulars who order again and again. Owner.com also helps you rank higher on Google with world-class search engine optimization built specifically for restaurants with an AI-powered website. We cannot forget lists. Build a huge list of people who live near your restaurant fast and market to that list on autopilot with text and email sent at the perfect time to help you grow sales and stay top of mind. Owner.com gives you everything you need to grow and market your restaurant online with no contracts or hidden fees. Visit Owner.com/unstoppable right now to book your free demo and see why thousands of restaurant owners trust Owner.com to power their restaurants online. We're back. And so what's the vision? If like we're be covering a lot of the struggles right now, actually, before we get into the vision, like are any other big challenges, things you learned the hard way, an evolution, a point of improvement that you guys made where it just made life easier that you can give foresight to people listening to this?
I think just like learning where you can be that'll like be the most profitable for you and kind of calling your shots. In the first year, and this reminds me of a conversation I had with Chris Vio actually, I think it was the end of Pumpkin Fest this past year. He said the first year you just gotta say yes.
Yeah.
And then figure everything else after.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of truth to that. And I think that's another one of those. For every piece of good advice, there's a countering piece of good advice, and it's infuriating. Because I've had somebody else on the show say, be careful what you say yes to.
Yeah.
And I think both of those are true.
You got to have the ear of.
It's like a sliding scale. In the beginning, you don't know who the fuck you are. You're taking any opportunity you can get. But as you start getting repetitions in, you start realizing who you are and what's worth your time and effort.
Exactly.
You got to start to... Everything you say yes to is something else you have to say no to.
And that was huge for us last year, because last year was truly like our, okay, we're here. Let's see how this season goes. And we had a lot of duds that we were hoping were not duds.
And a lot of rain.
A lot of rain. God, the fucking rain.
A lot of rain, good
for the crops.
But no two pop-ups are made the same, I would imagine, too.
No,
so what you figured out for your unique ability isn't going to be universal.
Yes. Correct. 100%.
So what is the vision? Where are you guys going? Why are you working like maniacs right now? Like, what's the goal?
Because we love it. We do love it.
One of the benefits to the pop-up is it's very fluid. Like you just said, no two pop-ups are the same, and no two pop-up events are the same. So being as we are right now with the pop-up model, we don't have a huge overhead. We're noble. We're 100 mobile. Excuse me. We are also noble.
We're also noblemen.
We're 100% nomadic. Like, we get inquiries for people like being like, "Hey, I want you in this restaurant space. Yes. I want you like this place or this place."
Especially the last few months.
Holy being shit. Able to kind of navigate that as we will, you know.
Yeah.
Not being like, "Oh fuck, we need to open up a door, or else we're not going to make money."
Because like every pop up, like we get it all the time. Just where can I get you guys? Like when you're not traveling,
right?
And it's just like
that's all we do.
Yeah, it's like that's what we do.
But here's the thing. Sorry, keep going.
No, you're good. I think the only thing to add on to that is that I think that's what keeps our magic, if you will, keeps us special, not stale. You know, the fact that we are in one place, sometimes one time only, and like this is your chance to come out and try it. And we've built. And not even just us, but like we've built, I think, like a really strong brand that people will gravitate to, and people have backed that up to want to come see for themselves. Why are these guys the way they are? And I think that makes it very special. And pair that with we change our menu every week, or at least a special pie every week. So like sometimes we'll bring back ones that were super popular, but we don't do that till like what, 6 months or something, yeah, like down the road.
How much has your product evolved over time? That's a good question.
It evolves. So like for me as a chef, I know this phrase has kind of like been beat to death, but I cook with the seasons, you know, like what inspires me is what I see from our farms and like stuff like that. So our pies evolve with each season. We will always have a vegan pie. Always. I think vegan food is very, I feel like that market's very underutilized, right, as like a business owner. And we have like groups of vegans that do follow us from pop-up because they know we always have a vegan pie, but that will always change with the seasons. Like for like fall, it might be like we did an elote pie, which was topped with like, it was the Takis, right?
The Great Cornholio.
Oh yeah. The Great Cornholio. That's what we call it.
Yeah. The spicy Takis. Cause those are vegan, right?
The spicy Takis, which are vegan.
I didn't know that. Blew my mind.
But I think where I was going with this question is you get to basically do R&D.
Yeah, yes. That's pretty much 100%. What Deadproof is just R&D.
Yeah, like so, hundreds of renditions of different pies to see what sticks, what doesn't stick.
Exactly.
And then eventually, well, did I cut you short, Matt? Did you want to add more to it?
All I was going to say is to kind of jump back to your last question as well, like we can be fluid and we can go with the current and we don't have to necessarily have this like cookie cutter box tunnel vision dream because we can evolve with how our industries are evolving, or even how like the pop-up industry is kind of forming in New England,
yes,
or has been forming in New England. So to be able to be nomadic and to move with the current, like our dream, like we could have a sick restaurant deal drop on our laps tomorrow that we jump on,
yeah,
because we love the spot. It's great for us. We could just be like, fuck that. We just want to do our trailer for the next 2 years. And then, you know, like it does for us. It's all about not being stagnant.
Yes.
Yeah. And kind of not just moving around physically, but also like moving and evolving with like the needs and the demands, if you will, of our clients, of our people, whoever's eating Deadproof Pizza.
So is brick and mortar something you guys want, or is that not even on your radar?
So it isn't. We always said that we don't want a brick and mortar unless it's exactly what we want.
Would Dahlia be first or would Deadproof be first?
I think Deadproof would be first. Deadproof. And the way that we're kind of like feeling right now, which again going back to what I just said, it could absolutely change, is we're gonna rock this trailer setup, and if a brick and mortar comes within the next year, it'll probably be in the form of like a commissary, more like a central position.
Are you guys profitable today?
Yes.
What is your percent profit? Can I ask that question?
We hover anywhere from 25 to 35%.
That's awesome.
It's great.
With three partners. And how many employees?
Funny story. We're working on that. But we contract, so 1099. We have a lot of friends that have been really fucking cool that have come through to pop-ups, and they love doing it, which is the best part. Like, we are so, like, we're food forward. We are people forward amongst everything. And we want to make sure to take care of people. We want to make it worth their while. Some people only showing up, like, to Matt's point, to work a few hours.
Yep.
You know, we're doing all the back-end stuff, like, during prep and at the commissary and all these different things. But for us, it's super important to keep people
wanting to come back and not just like being respectful or being like people you want to work with.
Yeah.
You know, we work for them. That's kind of like how we do. And we set everybody up for success, and they love coming to work and doing this because it's different for them. They carry the same vibe with them that I think we created Dead Proof with, which is this is something we want to do and we can do. And I know we've inspired some of our friends to go and create pop-ups, which has been really cool to see just based on just being available for help for them. So we have people come in that we'll just hit up that are chefs at other spots or, you know, or just friends that are like, hey, I loved what I did last time with you guys. Can I come through? And they come and support us, you know, and we obviously pay them, and it's yeah. great.
I think I mentioned this earlier, but in terms of Ethos Enable, how many other clients do you have today?
Today? I mean, off the top of my head, I know I have like 4 website projects and we have like 4 social media clients. So I'd say like 8 total right now.
Okay.
But those 4 websites are coming to a close. So those are going to be done. And then the social media clients are being managed by Caitlin, who's like my right hand woman with.
Got it. So you still have the income from that too, that you have.
Sure.
Kind of. Or is that kind of just sustaining itself right now?
That's like, honestly just paying the bills and not like my bills personally or anything, but like just keeping EA afloat. You know, making sure that if you're okay with me mentioning this, making sure that, you know, Vin has a paycheck coming in so that he can do Dead Proof.
Yeah.
And you know, for me personally, and you know, I hate talking about this, but I'm just going to because we're here, is I sold my house 3 years ago because I wanted to bet on us to really do something special.
Well, this is a huge lesson, I think. Yeah. I mean, how bad do you want is the question.
And yeah, it was bad enough to sell my house that like I owned for 8 years. I bought, you know, really.
When did you sell it?
I sold it in 2021.
Oh, if you just held on another year. But you
no, dude, I bought it. I love where you're going with this, but like I bought it in 2015 at like less than 200 and I sold it for over 300. So damn. Like for me, I was just like, and again, I'm not trying to say that to fucking brush my shoulders or anything.
No, it was a good time to buy and sell a house.
I want, thank you. Appreciate you.
That's good.
Partners. Gotcha. but really it's like, I did that because I was so fucking sick at working at a desk and I love my brother and I love Matt and we're all brothers and I wanted to, I don't care if this sucks all the money out of me. I'm doing this because I love it and we need to give ourselves a shot at doing this for us and being something that we all believe in and can do together as a team and really just make it our jobs now.
But I think what you did is smart because like, how bad do you want it? What are you willing to shed? What personal liabilities are you willing to shed to either increase cash flow or to like to get more, to liquidate your assets or to just eliminate liability? So you can be like, I was paying $2,000 a month for rent.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, why am I doing this when I could take that $2,000 a month and live full time on the road? Yeah. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And you have to look at your personal liabilities and shed as much liability, get rid of as much debt as possible before going into this because it's going to take everything you have.
Yeah, I absolutely like concrete shoe myself into my financial freedom, but like it's okay because we have this vision, we feel so strong about it, and we love doing it, and it's helped, you know, it's helped really shape us and helped set us up for success and do things the right way. I think one of the examples I gave Matt when we were talking about doing this is like, you have a band that, like, let's just say you create a band, but the band before they release any music has dope merch. They have a website. They have like all these things that establish them first.
It looks like they've been doing this for years.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the mentality. We said, let's do that. We didn't sell a pizza. We had a full-blown website, social media. We had photos. We had
sick t-shirts.
Duh. Mm-hmm. We had merch. We had everything, and no one had a pizza from us. But we generated hype, and people were like, why am I just seeing this?
Another huge beneficial factor to having a good marketing team.
I'm honestly like thinking to myself, like, Matt, like, you've inspired me by getting these guys. Like, I'm about to like put out a fucking
they're
flyer
mine. You find your own Marianas Brothers.
I know.
Marianas Brothers. I was just going to say. First.
I know. I fucked up.
Just make sure you know their names. Just
like, I know. Marino.
You didn't fuck up. We set you up to fuck up.
Yeah. Which we tend to do.
Classic but,
like,
us.
Like, you can't do it alone. You got to think about what's possible with the help and like how much bigger will the pie be if I can get the word out.
You just got to drop that ego, man.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It definitely comes with a chef jacket sometimes, but it's just, it has to be non-existent in your world.
Yeah.
You can care about what you do and love what you do and show that through what you do, but you can't do every aspect of what you do by yourself.
Yeah. Or at least do it
and
well.
If you, yeah, and if you are, then I promise you it's not healthy. I promise you there's a better way of doing it.
Yeah. So I do want to kind of unpackage like tech stack, like pop-up tech stack real quick. Has that evolved at all? Because you talked about using Eventbrite. How are people knowing about where you're going and how are you charging them today?
So, like for Deadproof?
Yeah, for both concepts. So you haven't done Dahlia in a while, have you?
So I've primarily been doing like private like Dahlia dinners to, and mostly to like the same like group of clients just because Deadproof is so kinda,
it's more like private chefing now.
Yeah, right now it is. We are gearing up to put in another season.
Do you guys see any of that revenue from the private chefing of Dahlia? Or is it just Deadproof that you have stake in?
Just Deadproof.
Okay, got it. So the money that he's paying you to do the marketing for Dahlia, basically, does it? Sorry, I feel like I have all these questions. They're so personal.
No. It's cool. It's one of those things. I think that like we just kind of just look at each other, and be like, whatever you need, like you know, we're here. You know, it's just yeah. So I think when it comes down to it, like we see Deadproof as the avenue to continue to support each other, and to the point of like EA caping the bills on for like you know Vin and myself. That's what Dahlia does, you know, for Matt as well. So there's absolutely commonality, common ground, and everything that like we do together for sure. It doesn't disqualify any of us from being supportive of each other and doing our own things.
Yep.
But you know, I think something that we are also looking at being like, all right, how do we streamline things? Right, like just make things work for everyone. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hope that was okay to say.
No, perfect.
If that's cool.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, so you weren't asking. I just kind of went with it.
So Matt, you're starting to answer my question with the tech stack. Is that evolved? Are you like, what does that look like today?
So as far as Deadproof, like we use Toast. We don't use Eventbrite at all. We don't do any like pre-ticketed stuff with Deadproof. So it's a completely different platform.
So you're not selling tickets, which would make more sense if you were doing the pop-up for Dahlia because that's more of an event-based.
Yeah, exactly. Dahlia, we always said, was an experience. Like, you're going out to dinner. You're having food. The food hopefully is really good. But it's more of the experience and the atmosphere that we wanted Dahlia to be forward with. Whereas Deadproof, it's very food-forward. It's very... I would say us for one of the things about Deadproof is from the get go, we all wanted to be very unapologetically ourselves, and that's what Deadproof is.
That's one of the things I love about you guys, and something I'm trying to be better about myself as I evolve as a professional, just being authentic more, more so.
And it's hard; it's easier said than done because, like, you spend your entire life, especially like as you join the workforce, working for other people and kind of being what they want you to be as, like, or for my instance, a chef. This is how you're going to cook. This is what you're going to cook. But like to kind of design your own cuisine and what you want to cook and then do it for yourself.
Kate's here.
What up, Kate?
Kate. Where's she brought treats?
You brought things?
Oh, let's go.
So Kate is my next guest. Kate Holacek. We went to high school together.
She's the main event. We're just the opener.
Yeah, she's... We got a double header coming in. Oh, it happens.
Kate has also done Dahlia pop-ups with me. And was also on...
Today's the day of pop-ups. It's going to be great.
Hell yeah.
She was an instrumental part of our team since pretty much day one. I think we sat down and talked to Kate before even starting Dahlia. Yeah, Kate's been a long time friend. I love you so much, Kate.
There's been a lot of requests. Here's the cool thing. Like, if you opened a restaurant 20 years ago and you've got all these awards and industry accolades and you've now owned 30 restaurants, doing that 20 years ago isn't the same as doing it today.
Doing it
last year.
and I can't go to anybody who's been around for 20 years and say, how did you do your pop-ups? Because they likely didn't. So, like, it's really cool to get people who are... 2 or 3 years into the process, and because like what even like 6 years ago, I'm sure it's changed because the technology around it's changing too and it's evolving.
Yeah.
So it's a very dynamic, 100%. Hard to hit, moving object.
And we're very like guerrilla about it. So like Instagram, Facebook, like we're not paying for ads. We're not doing anything crazy. It's really just we're making waves with the people that we want to give good experiences to.
Well, this is something I wanted to tap on before we wrapped it up. So right now you're using Toast, and what element of Toast are you using? Is there like a smaller commitment
like version of Toast that's like pop-ups only? Like, is there like a...
Yeah, we run... So we run like just a tablet, like, you know, if you go like most coffee shops, they have like that tablet that comes through, and then we set up like a kitchen printer that attaches to it. And then...
So when you say tablet, you're talking about the tablet they, the servers use when they're walking around?
To take no, orders? Like a, no, like not a stationary, okay. like sorry, yeah, like a, almost like an iPad, but like got a
it.
Version of it.
Got it. So like you rock screen. One of those?
Yeah, so we rock one of those. We rock the a ticket printer for...
Does wireless?
No. they're wired.
It's
they're
100-foot Ethernet.
Yeah, if they could do wireless, that would be so fucking sick. They do have wireless, but it's a lot of money. Yeah. But for us, we are... I feel like I'm screaming into this thing. But for us, we're using, you know, a tablet to fire the orders. The orders get fired to Matt's side of things, where he just organizes both tickets to for our topping station and expo for himself. Yeah, I have
a 2-ply thermal.
Yeah,
got it.
And
so one tablet, one printer that prints out 2 tickets.
Yes, and we use what was the name of the internet thing? Nighthawk. That's what it is. It's like a Nighthawk, like mobile.
It's a mobile hotspot.
Such a sick.
I would definitely look into it for your trailer.
Yeah, yes. I already 100%. Spent the $2,500 on fucking Sky.
Dude, it's expensive, dude.
It's yeah. wild.
It, but like, yeah,
it's $250 a month, and I get 50 gigabytes. It's and wild. I burn through it in a week. Yeah. So
it's a lot, dude.
If you're out there and you have high speed internet in a restaurant, please let me upload my content in your restaurant.
We'll use Dan's internet. Who gives a shit? But yeah, so we use that. We have like Toast modem. We have, you know, a ticket printer for me so I can give people, you know, their receipts and their numbers and such. And we kind of like, just like what we would do if we go to a restaurant takeover, we form around that technology to like make it work for ourselves. So like, we love knowing names of like our customers. We'll be like, oh yeah, Becky, your, you know, your pie's ready or whatever. But like, we've just been doing numbers to keep things accurate. So like, we'll say like, hey, you know, number 4, you're up or like yeah. whatever. And that's just helped us so much, just keep things organized. Yeah. And we've just worked around that.
So that's on site. Now, yes. In terms of promoting the event, which is a big part, and you're smart to know that pop-ups need a lot of promotion because yes, they do. You can't walk past it. I mean, you can if you're out, like, and yeah. you have this.
But you don't like, have, like, a physical for the most part, yeah, building for people like, oh, shit, dead person.
You're going to let people know where you're going to be, there. Right. when you're going to be there, and how to get
it's
there.
It's all just like you, it's all word of mouth, and it's all social media.
So, yeah. so who's in charge of the social media? Like, who takes the lead on that? Dante?
Hi.
So Dante, like yeah. best practices promoting a pop-up online.
The easiest advice I could do is just to fucking do it. Because so many people, like we were talking about earlier about marketing, right? How yeah. it gets like axed right away and people don't really understand its importance. Kate is extremely good at like graphics and stuff and yeah. like putting up her menu. That like, school. Yeah, you can do it. I know. That's why I'm saying things. Duh. Kate is excellent at just like, you know, making graphics and things that like stand out.
Do you want to pull
like,
up a chair?
Yeah. Do you want to like sit and hang out?
Like,
do you want to share a headphone?
I can move.
No, it's okay. I'll
learn. Oh, there you go. Perfect. Love it.
Cool.
But like,
I would pull you a chair, but I'm trapped in here.
Yeah, I got it your way. But like just to kind of like put it out there, like be different, be authentic, like be. You know, showcase your food, like give a shit about like what your food looks like. Like that's what I fucking love about Matt. Like he, like when he makes a pizza, he doesn't just like throw shit together. Like he takes his time to like, does this look sick? You know what I mean? Like, does this look good? Is it presentable? Sometimes I post pictures of like my food that I think like looks really good. And he's like, dude, why didn't you wipe your plate? Like you animal. And I'm like, unbelievable. But like, I love that though. It's that attention to detail that you just have to. You have to be committed to, and if you're not, people are. If you don't give a shit about it, other people aren't going to give
like
a shit about
SOPs
it.
What about like SOPs associated? Like, is there like a standard operating procedure for? Okay, in 2 months, we just scheduled a pop up. Like, how am I creating awareness? Like, from the point of scheduled pop up to event, how are you making sure people show up?
So, our website drives a lot of traffic, which is great, and we have our schedule literally right on there. So, a lot of people when we first you know turn the light switch on our season, we tell them. Like we had a post about it. Like we post on Instagram and Facebook just being like, hey, our schedule is live on our thing. And I did this really kind of funny, like,
it's like a band posting tour dates.
Literally. Yeah, yes,
that's exactly what it is.
And, I wanted to take this approach to be kind of, I don't know, just like my style on it, where I posted all of our dates on this like tiny screen. And over it, I wrote, go to the website, deadproofpizza.com. Don't be a hero and try yeah. to read all this little text.
Yeah.
So many people blew by that. Like that thing, and we're like, I can't read this. I'm like, did you read the big black text that's on there? And they're like, oh my god, I can't believe I missed it. And it was just so funny. And But it's just like quirky things like that. Like I think like all of our personalities just lead to something fresh, something new. Like maybe Vince sees something on TikTok. He's like, dude, we got to do this. And like we do it. Or like Matt has this idea of this, like, I don't know, killer menu item name or something. And it's just like, we got to promote it this way. And just being ourselves, being out of pop-ups, we've generated a very engaged following. And
more so than I've like ever seen.
Dude.
Just can I jump
absolutely
in?
Yeah, please. By all
one means. Thing that I've noticed doing this, doing Dead Proof with these boys, is I've never had people come up to me after a dinner or after coming out to eat at a restaurant I work at. I've never heard of them being like, I really like your brand. I think your branding's so sick. I love like the design of it and the graphics and stuff. I've never heard so many compliments specifically about our marketing, which is, it's really like, it's awesome because that is such a pillar to what we do is our social media.
I'm just going to go on record. So Kate and I met up this weekend when I was down in Boston after interviewing Irene Lee from May May. And we were talking about Dead Proof and the things that came out of her mouth about your marketing and branding.
You mean it?
Like it's true.
And again, unapologetically ourselves. Yeah. Whether you like it or not, you're getting all of us.
Love us or hate us, and there's plenty of people that have both. Like, we're here, you know?
So, I mean, it sounds like the trick is being able to, I mean, there's a certain level of talent that comes with representing yourself digitally, just the creation involved of creating the digital assets.
Yeah, I could have an entire episode dedicated on, like, social media and, like, what to do, and, like, it's just, it's one of those things where it just starts with giving a shit.
Would you like to host a panel where we talk about how to promote?
If you need me to, I will.
I would love to be a part of that.
Yeah, please. I mean, the vision for Restaurant Unstoppable is I want these interviews to spill over into more conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I can only talk about what's worked for us and what I've seen work for other, you know, great businesses in New Hampshire, Massachusetts that we've been so privileged to work with. And while I love doing it for other people, there's nobody I love doing it more than for us.
Yeah.
Because it's just fun. It can be ourselves, you know, so.
God damn it, Kate. We heard that.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We're recording here.
Yeah, dude. We're trying to like
just teasing. It's fine. I record podcasts in restaurants. There is nothing.
I was going to say. I'm surprised
we haven't had a delivery yet.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just usually roll with the punches. So we got to think about starting to wrap it up. The only thing we haven't really tapped into that I'm interested in is like, what is the future? You don't really have, you said brick and mortar. Is there a strategy to bridge the gap between pop-up and brick and mortar? I have some ideas I'd like to share. Maybe out loud, or I'm curious if you thought about it.
Yeah,
let's hear your ideas.
Yeah. Let's hear what you have to say because I don't want to.
No,
I'll start.
No, you say I love you first.
No, you
say it.
Well, do you want me just to go out and say it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
So I'm curious if you've explored just a ghost kitchen or like using delivery only, having a commissary where you just, because that's within reach for you guys, I feel like.
So
you already have the brand. People are asking, how can we get your food?
Yeah.
So just having a like out of any commissary where you just do delivery only, you get on, I hate to say it, the third parties, but there is something to be said about creating awareness. Yeah. Yeah. Like what's stopping you guys from doing that?
So we have done that. Okay. We popped up when Cafe Loren was in the North End. They closed down recently, but we were doing just that. We were coming in because they're a breakfast spot. We're coming in after they closed, which is perfect timing for us. And we would just do online and takeout only. And we loved it. We also did we'll do our Super Bowl pickup, which is just like a take and bake. We've done stuff like that.
That was so awesome.
But for us, where we see like our big sustainable numbers is at things like fairs and festivals where like, yes, we can go to the people, but we also want to go to a place that has a lot of fucking people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that's how we make money with that proof.
Right. Like talking earlier about like, we don't want to wait for people to come through our door.
Is there a market that, sorry, I cut you
short. You're good. What were you going to say?
Is there a market that you do best in?
Concord. Like, yeah. Concord has been crazy. Yeah.
Concord Market Days is one of our best events every year.
So you have the most brand recognition in Concord.
I would say like here, like Manchester, like really, I mean,
I would say between Manchester and Concord.
Okay.
And Keene for whatever reason.
I was going to say
Keene's great.
Going to say Stratum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, Stratum
because we were there every Thursday last year. Permanent
delivery pop-up Concord.
Dude, it's so we love Concord and Concord's been so cool to us and like our favorite pizza spot is over there, Sour Joe's.
Oh, yes, Sour Joe's. Greg's another great person to talk to.
He's someone I was going to recommend you reach out to.
Well, I said first.
My germs. But yeah, Concord's been cool. Manchester's been awesome.
Nashville sucks.
Nashville sucks.
I'm just kidding.
No, we love Nashville. I don't know. I don't think we've ever really been in a place that hasn't really been well receptive of us, which has been really
Central
cool.
Central Southern New Hampshire.
Yeah. There you go.
Central Southern New
Hampshire. South Central.
South Central.
Our stomping grounds.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
All of ours. Yeah.
I've really enjoyed talking to you guys. Vinny, you've been quiet. Is there anything you want to get out?
They've taken the rein on it. And
it's hard to get a word in with these two.
Trust me.
These chatty Cathys.
He knows.
Oh, trust me. I know that for sure. But, what's so funny?
Nothing.
I mean, is there anything that any of you guys want to get out before we wrap up today?
Follow Dead Proof on Instagram and Facebook.
We'll definitely
follow our socials. Follow, share, subscribe.
Any piece of advice or knowledge or areas of expertise, nuggets that we just can't leave on the table.
You want to start? Ready?
You start.
No, you can get started.
Just get out there and do
Matt,
it.
Matt, start.
Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah. Vince, starting.
Just get out
Vince,
there and do it.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, start our scared. Mantra, do it scared.
Oh, I
ask why. Ask why you do things. That was the biggest thing for when I started Dahlia and then Dead Proof. Why do I do this way? Why am I working 70-hour work weeks? Why do I have to be tied down to a restaurant to do what I love doing?
Yeah.
You know, like question in your life why in order to make your life better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love that.
And one thing that we all do, I don't think that we've really touched on that much, is whatever we do, like, we're first. I know that sounds super selfish, but, like, we as in, like, our people, the three of us, like, our mental health, our well-being is it always comes first.
Yeah.
And I know that's very much easier said than done, but you have to practice that.
Mm-hmm.
Or else you're not going to keep anyone. You're not going to hold on to staff. I would say if I had to leave everyone with a question, especially when you think about opening your own business, COVID kind of set that up for a lot of people, but ask yourself why, you know?
Yeah.
Why do I have to do it this way?
Yeah. So Restaurant Unstoppable's mission is to change the world by inspiring, empowering, and transforming the restaurant industry. So along that vein of transformation and change, what do you think the change that needs to happen in the industry, or like, where do you think we're going and that it's good?
I think you need to unglorify overworking, which is huge in the restaurant industry.
Couldn't agree more. I think that's so important to embrace the mental health of your employees and
balance,
the emotional health of your employees.
How do we do that?
Just listening. We got to stop undervaluing communication and open communication.
How do we do the first part of that, of working less and being okay with that, and while being able to actually pay our bills?
That's the balance. I think that's different from person to person.
Yeah.
We're trying to do that within the three of us, and kind of what we're doing with Dead Proof is like, I myself can work 3 days straight like a fucking dog doing Dead Proof stuff, but then I got to spend 4 days with my kids.
Right.
You know? So, like, finding how you can do that in your own situation, in your own universe, you know what I mean?
And I think to add to that, because that's a great point, to add to that uniquely to us is our communication, I think, is very strong. And I think that there's not any point any one of us can walk up to any one of us and say, I need some time off, or I need this day. And you're not going to lose out on anything by not being there. We have that trust that we've gained with each other to really be able to know that if Dead Proof is out there without Dante, without Vin, without Matt, is it going to be Dead Proof? And we've concretely and like authentically made sure that that is the case because we all bring our strengths to the table. Yeah. Like we're all good at different things. But what we share together is what the experience is, what we want it to be, what we want people to walk away saying about us, and to be able to have a partnership that is able to cover each other's bases when we need it the most to keep us fresh. That shit trickles from top down, right? Like,
I think it's another big reason why I believe partnerships are the future.
100%.
Not only because you can't do it alone, like, and be that talented that you're good enough at that many things, but because of the work-life balance that their future employer and employee wants, like, you need to lean on other people so you can take a break.
Yeah. You need to end the negative stigma of leaning on other people.
Yeah.
Like, I need a mental day. Like, that. If I had said that to my chef, I don't know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago even, he would have told me, get fucked.
Yeah.
He'd be like, you still have a prep list to
do. I got anxiety just thinking about it.
You know what
it,
I mean? Like, I could imagine myself as a young line cook going up to one of my chefs and be like, I need a mental health day.
Yeah.
But there's that negative stigma, which comes with the glorification of overworking. We're like, that's not a bad thing. Like, you're right. You're not leaving everyone else like high and dry. They're there to support you because you need that day off. And that's just touching into what Dante was just saying, is there that stigma doesn't exist in Dead Proof. I could be like, hey, I'm not feeling well. Like, I need to take this day.
I bet you even get a hug.
Yeah.
Don't get a hug from Matt.
That's another story. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So again, the mission statement, inspire, empower, transform the industry by transforming one person at a time, really is what we're trying to do by giving them access to this information. So how have you personally transformed? Who are the men you are today versus the men you were when getting started?
Can you repeat that?
How have you personally transformed? How have you evolved as a professional?
Okay. For me, I've learned to let go of things. I think I can be I need my hands in everything. Yeah. I need to control every aspect of something. And in this industry, you cannot fucking do that. And you shouldn't want to do that. You should, to your point of partnerships, be able to, right. I don't want to call it delegation because I feel like that interprets that like there's things under, you know what I mean? But like, to have the set list of things you need to make a restaurant, a pop-up, like this work, you have to be able to hand off things to others and be able to be great at the few things that you're great at and not just be okay and good at everything.
Got it.
Got to know your tribe, baby.
Got to know your tribe.
Vinny, same question. How have you personally transformed? How are you better today?
Just doing it. Like, you know, when we first started.
Consistent. I love it.
Well, no, it's like when we first started out, I personally didn't know, like, in the partnership where I was going to be. Dante did a lot of the back-end stuff. Matt was more forward with all the food menu kind of things. And I kind of just shifted to the side of, like, what can I help with this? What can I help with that? And and during my career of, like, anything where I worked, I was always put on new projects.
You're the utility guy.
I am. I really...
The one-stop shop.
Like, for example, if, like, Matt's not there, like, you weren't there on Sunday for River House, and I had to take point in the kitchen, and, you know, it's not an easy job. So you know, I'm not a chef like at all. Like in the like compared to like me and Matt, I'm not even close.
Yeah.
But still being able with like how we run our menu, like I feel very confident in, you know, knowing everything, being there, asking questions, and not being afraid to ask those questions either. Like I would message Matt like literally in the middle of service, being like, "Hey, real quick, what do these get?" Like, you know, that kind of thing. Like he'll set me up with like a template sheet of like what things need to be. And that goes for everybody in our. Who works for us, they always get like a cheat sheet of like how
it's called
construct.
The pie chart.
It's called the pie chart.
It's called the pie chart. Matt, same question. TM.
How have I transformed? I think just doing this and doing the pop-up and now like in the past less than 5 years having two kids, I've learned more about how to balance my life that benefits my own well-being, kind of what we were talking about before. And just like trying to get away with this. Yeah, I would just say I don't want to say like time management, but like what am I going to invest myself into?
More selective, intentional.
Yeah, that's a much better way of putting it. Thank you. More intentional about what I invest my time and my passion into.
Got it.
And it sure as hell isn't for someone else. It's going to be like for me, for us. And that was one of the biggest things is I've always been like a people pleaser. I've always been like a yes man, especially like working in a kitchen and being like under a chef. It's always like, yes, chef, yes, chef, yes, chef. But just be able
I think that's good. And I don't want people listening to just think that they can skip that step.
Oh, no, definitely not. You have to have that foundation.
To say yes to everything until you start getting enough data jammed into your life experiences that you have an idea of who the fuck you are. But you have to say yes to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely the path to get there. But doing this, the big transformation I think that I've had is what can I say yes to? Yeah. What makes sense to say yes to?
That pendulum.
What I can physically do. Because I'll always push myself till I just, like, can't.
Got it.
So, like, being able to kind of balance my life at home and in Dead Proof.
I love it. We're almost done. Two more questions. Kate's being super patient sitting in the background right now, too.
Zen-like so patience.
So if you guys got the news, you'd be leaving this world tomorrow. All the memories of you, your work in your restaurants, pop-ups, live events would be lost with your departure, with the exception of three pieces of wisdom you could leave behind for the good of humanity and your legacy. I'm going to have you each give me one, starting with Matt.
I'm going to say do good recklessly.
Ooh.
That was my follow-up to the if you're scared, do it scared.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's do good things or do the right thing regardless of what the outcome's going to be. Like a good example is like paying for someone's coffee or whatever, like in the drive-thru. Like you don't know what's going to happen after that. Like you're just doing it to do it, you know? And I think there's a dwindling amount of good things going around in this world as it keeps going.
Yeah.
So to put a little bit good back, even if it's just like whatever, you know, I think, yeah, do good recklessly.
Dante.
Fear is afraid of you. And I mean that.
Is that on a Tap Out t-shirt?
Fear is afraid of
you. Sorry, we're brothers.
All right. Let me preface this by saying, I know that did sound like a no fear sweat shirt. Like DC would make back.
That's what my mountain bike said when I was a kid.
Okay, Chuck Norris.
Oh, I guess. Vin, go ahead. I'm clearly tapped out of this one. So I guess what I'm trying to say is like I've had a lot of like anxietal moments for myself where I'm relied on to make decisions. I'm someone who I want to just do well for other people, like to Matt's point, like very much people pleaser. And like, I love just like the general vibe of like I'm very much a front of house person. Like for me, like I love creating an environment for people to enjoy things. I love like, I don't know. There's a lot of things I'd like to just kind of like give myself to and like be hospitable. And, you know, to be able to do these things is just an incredible amount of fear. And especially to do it for yourself is terrifying. And that's why, like when we talk about doing it scared, for me, it's just like once you take that control away from fear by recognizing it, acknowledging it, and saying to yourself, I'm just going to go fucking through you, then it loses all of its like, you break free of that anxiety.
Fear becomes afraid of you.
Yeah, basically.
And Dante was to the devil. I am the storm.
I am the storm. I am the one who knocks, motherfucker.
Vinny, what do you got for us? Number three.
Shut up and listen. That's always been my personal mantra, is just shut up and listen, because especially learning new things, you know, we don't know where we are.
Yeah.
There's other people who's been in our position, you know. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
Especially, even if you don't like asking questions as like a person, like, 'cause it makes you feel like weak or something like that. It's just important just to like get out of your own way.
Yeah. One of those seven habits of highly effective people: first seek to understand, then seek to be understood. Mm-hmm. Just listen. Yeah. Awesome. I love this conversation, guys. Thank you so much.
It's been a blast.
So we got to wrap it up. Yeah, dude, the pleasure's mine. Dudes, I should say. The pleasure's been mine.
We're one collective dude.
So who do you guys respect and admire? Somebody that is doing it right. They're fiscally responsible. They're making money. They're taking care of their people. They're loved by their communities. They're growing like crazy. If they were a guest on this podcast, you would say to yourself, I want to hear what they have to say. Who is that for you?
I'm getting looked at here.
Because I think we all have the same answer.
I mean, Bobby's my guy. I mean, he's been Bobby Marcotte. Yeah, I know you've had him a couple times, but he's been someone that, like, I personally looked up to and like had beers talking and shit. And he's just like someone that like I think fits not just our vibe, but like he just gets it right.
He's been on twice, and I have a feeling it won't be the last time.
Yeah. So he's been instrumental, at least for me personally, like in my growth in this industry and just like understanding things. And he's been so just like patient and understanding, listening, and just all the good things. But Taryn Merrill for me, Fresh AF Bake Shop, 100% love what she does. She is we're unapologetically authentic. She's the same. Mm. And she does it at a great level. She's growing like crazy. She has an awesome following, and I think that her passion for people and putting out a product that is good and being conscious about like what's good out there is something I think more people would like to listen to, especially for her story, like kind of coming into this.
Mm. What's her business?
Fresh AF Bake Shop.
Okay.
She's out of Kingston, but she has a new spot in Exeter, I believe.
Plastow.
Sorry. Oh, Plastow. Thank you. Yes. And so she's on my list of people that I would definitely recommend for sure.
I have two as well, actually. I'm going to say George Bazanson. He's a really good friend of ours. He owns Earth Harvest up in Dover. Just like all around, like super great dude, super sweet, super caring, and definitely kind of breaks the mold of his generation of what a chef was. Yeah. I feel like he is.
I love George. I've had him on the show too.
George is awesome.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He makes the filthiest food.
He really does. He does make the filthiest food. We actually call him Poppy George or Daddy George.
Poppy Jorge, we call
Poppy
him.
Poppy Jorge sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, he's a, like...
What?
We call him Cleaver Daddy.
Cleaver Daddy.
Oh yeah, Cleaver Daddy is another one.
That's
he's also...
He has
an,
the photo with him holding the cleaver.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah, I would definitely say George. And then Pat Mills. I don't know if you've talked to Pat Mills.
Oh my God, back.
He owns Bonfire, like right there.
Okay. I love this. I'm getting so many leads. When I come back to New Hampshire this summer, I'm going to have
we'll
some
give
work
you
to
more,
do.
Too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We have so many people we've leaned on to make this work.
Vinny, I haven't forgot about you. Oh, are you still going?
No, that's fine. I guess Vinny can have a turn.
No, I mean,
thanks, guys.
Thanks, I would definitely say Nick over at the Birch on Elm.
Nick Preventure.
He's been remarkable. We've worked with him for EA as well, doing his social, his media, getting his content. And especially from him moving from his old spot to his new spot, the journey that he had to take for that and the ups and downs and a lot of the stuff that we learned about, like, opening a brick and mortar.
He would be a very interesting conversation.
Yes.
You guys gave me too many names for me to remember. Everybody.
Can I give you one more?
Yeah, please.
Kate Holacek.
Yes!
I definitely recommend you talk to her for sure.
Kate, you're up next.
Oh, shit.
Oh, gosh, she's right behind us.
Oh, hey, Kate.
We're going deep into pop-ups today, and I cannot wait. We actually got to wrap it up because I have to make sure we have time for Kate to get her time. So before we say goodbye, how can we connect with you if we want to follow your work, get inspiration from you? What's the best way to connect?
We're wild on Instagram, so absolutely follow us at Dead Proof Pizza Co. Our website, deadproofpizza.com. Facebook, same thing, Dead Proof Pizza Co. Really, those social media outlets is what we use the most. And, we have like an email subscriber list. So, like, when we're out, we'll usually send stuff out to them. We'll do like some cool, kitschy shit for them only, which is always fun. So, yeah, Instagram definitely at Dead Proof Pizza Co. We love Insta.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to share your story, your knowledge, your mentorship, and your inspiration. There is no questioning. You are unstoppable.
Whoa.
Holy shit, he said it.
You hear that, guys?
That's real.
He did it.
He said it.
There's another episode wrapped up here at Restaurant Unstoppable. Special thanks to our guests today, Matt, Dante, and Vinny, for coming on and going deep into the world of pop-ups. And this is what I'm doing tomorrow if I'm opening a restaurant and I have little resources to my name. I am starting where I can. I am leveraging my network, and I'm building a digital presence and collecting emails and building that list. And anybody can start doing this tomorrow. And, it's weird because I can't go back. It's like, I have to talk to people who are going through it right now, 'cause I feel like this is the new way to get started. So, I want to get a good mix of guests, and I think this is a great example of that. And this is all going to be followed up at Restaurant Unstoppable Network. So after the recording today, I had a double header. We talked to the gentleman behind Dead Proof Pizza, and we also talked to Kate Halicek, who is with Lionheart Confection. So her episode will be going right off the heels of this. And both parties, Kate and the gentleman we spoke to today, are going to be joining us live on April. Oh crap! What day did we say? I think April 3rd. Let me pull up my calendar. I was just looking at it. April 3rd, Wednesday at 10 a.m. We're going to be going live at Restaurant Unstoppable Network to have a panel to just pass some information and knowledge around how to get started with a pop-up and things you might want to consider if you're choosing this path. I'm also going to reach out to some of our past guests on the show who started as pop-ups, like Rachel Miller started as a pop-up with Nightshade Noodles. I'm going to reach out to her. The gentleman behind Jared, I think is his first name. His last name is escaping me, behind Little Bear in Atlanta. I'm actually going to be in Atlanta in a week, so I'm hoping to connect with him and see if he can get on board. And this is the future of Restaurant Unstoppable, where we're out. The podcast is my research. The podcast is where I'm trying to find leads and bring these people back into the network, where we can all learn together and really break down the stigma of the industry of holding information close to your chest. If we're going to transform the industry, we're going to do it together. And I can't wait to see you guys over there. So if you want to head over to Unstoppable Restaurant Owners and Operators to kind of
take the first step in the direction of joining the network, that's the best thing you can do. We'll be sharing all the recordings and posting them to Unstoppable Owners and Operators on our YouTube channel. So it's a good place to get your feet wet. And just special thanks to our guests again, and special thanks to the people who make this possible. Thank you, Jared Parisi with Sumadre Podcast, for your copyright and editing. And thank you to Callan Miola, and she's crushing it behind the scenes with Restaurant Unstoppable Network. And I couldn't have picked two better people to have behind me. That's it for today. Until next time, peace out.